The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Eric Scalavino. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Brady off the shotgun snap, steps up, fires across the middle, diving grab by Amendola. What a great catch, and he took a hard hit.
A lot of big challenges ahead. You know, just take it day by day and see if we can just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Getter Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dotson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Really no shortcut to it. This is where we build our fundamentals, where a team comes together from a chemistry standpoint, and there's just no shortcut to it. We just got to grind away here day after day.
Brady's in the gun. He's got the Hooman on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
That's what separates pro-caliber players from guys who aren't. It's guys who can fix problems and know that this is what the team's trying to do, and then you figure out how to solve the problem.
Empty back to Brady, pumps under pressure. Hit as he releases, deep to the end zone, left side. Catch is made. Touchdown for Aaron Dobson! Today, they were down by a 17-3 score at halftime, and they reel off 24 unanswered points to prevail over the Miami Dolphins.
If you know there's weaknesses, then that's what you go after. That's what pro football is all about.
Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Steps up now, hit by Minkiewicz. Wrapped up, and the ball comes loose. New England recovers on a strip sack.
Try to build off what we did yesterday. You know, we still work on a lot of things that we just need to work on. So just grind it out.
Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Turns to the end zone. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
And I think the coaching, the mental toughness, the discipline, the work ethic, those things don't pay off in September.
Tom fires toward the end zone. And a tumbling grab is made. Rolling into the end zone. With a touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
When you really see him is December, you're going to see what kind of team you are in those moments when your back's against the wall.
Brady takes the snap. He looks toward the left. He looks across the middle. Throws to the back of the end zone. Catch made. Julian Edelman. Touchdown. Patriots.
Jake Glazer is reporting that the Patriots have agreed to parameters of a trade to send Pro Bowl guard Logan Mankins to the Bucks for a pick and tight end Tim Wright.
Wow.
What?
Whoa.
Wow.
This sends ripples of intrigue through Patriots Nation. This is just loaded.
Not football, it's personal. You know, all this emotion and energy you spend together, and you have friendships, the relationships that you build with the people that matter so much in your life because you make such a sacrifice for them and they make such of a sacrifice for you.
Logan is a great player. Was a great player here. He's a great person. Love having Logan Mankins on this team. But the overall circumstances just didn't work out for that to be able to happen this year.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
You just want to be building, and I think our team is, we're going to do whatever coach asks, so that's the best teams I've been around have followed our coach's advice and worked hard and tried to make the improvements so that we were primed and ready to go when it mattered the most.
Two receivers left, two to the right, Brady on a deep drop looking to throw, he pumps in the pocket, he fires down the middle, a wide open Amendola! Touchdown, Patriots!
Everyone telling you you're great, and everyone telling you suck, and then, if you ride that wave, and then at the end of the year, you're not mentally tough, well, you're not going to do much.
And the Patriots win it running away. The AFC East champions for the 11th time since 2001.
In my experience, you got to be battle-tested, and you only do that through going out there and playing games, see what kind of team you're made of, and, execute under intense circumstances.
Shotgun snap to Matty, play fake, throw to the near side, ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving, break on the ball.
He's got it!
As he stepped in front of Aaron Deck.
He's got it!
Patriots take over!
This place is berserk!
Certainly this week and yesterday and on, we're just focused on the Miami Dolphins and how we can go out there and put together the best plan to go out there and try to kick some butt on Sunday.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, extended open by Kevin Collins, getting us all psyched up. It's here. It's finally here. The 2014 regular season is around the corner, just a few days away. On Sunday, 1 o'clock in Miami, the Patriots open it up And I don't know about you, but I am pumped up. That opening got me pumped up, but I really didn't need it anyway. I was already jacked and pumped to get this thing going. I know all of you are. Phones are already lit up. Emails are already coming in for our first, I guess you'd call it, regular season edition of PFW in Progress. I know we weren't on yesterday because Patriots Monday was on a Tuesday, and apologize for that. We got all your Twitter and emails about it. But, you know, that's just one of the things we have to do. But here we are, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock today. And from this point on, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday during the season, the full Patriots.com lineup ready to go. Of course, if there's a Monday night game, which is at least one.
Or a Thursday night game.
But for the most part, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday throughout the season, followed by John Rook in the Patriots playbook, and Fantasy Football Champs on Tuesday and Thursday, and the debut of the Bob Soucy Show, Wednesdays from 4 to 6. The play-by-play guy from 98.5, the Sports Hub, will have his own show with guests coming in, Jackie Britton, out-of-town writers. He's going to try to talk to the play-by-play guy of the opposing team every week. So, you know, get those two guys battling it out on the airwaves. So really excited about the lineup we've got for you this season. And it all starts here with PFW in Progress. The guys just came down from the media luncheon, which today was provided by Splitsville, the new bowling alley here at Patriot Place. It's one of those highfalutin fancy bowling alleys with the neon balls and restaurant, and they actually have a piano bar there at night. So
Howling
at the Moon? I don't know what that has to do with bowling, but anyway, it's in there, and so they brought down some sliders and pizza from there. Is any good?
I just had sushi that was good, but one of them was spicy.
Oh, really?
But yes, it looks very good, and you'll talk to Paul in about a half hour when he's done eating.
Right. All right, so, I mean, could enough have happened since our last show?
Well, it's one of those things where you almost have to really think back in the order that it occurred chronologically.
Right. Well, so we had the social on Friday, right?
Yes.
And right, then they had the game.
We had cuts. It's basically...
cuts, trade of Ryan Mallett.
Yeah.
And well, then I mean, all the other off-field issues.
I count the trade of Ryan Mallett as a cut.
Well, it wasn't, though. He made the roster.
No, I know. But I, you know, part of the transactions get the roster to 53, and it's still ongoing. We're still going to have more moves coming.
I hope so. Fingers crossed if they're going to have a long snapper.
Really, I thought, and I'm not saying that, you know, nothing took me by. I thought the most surprising move of the entire weekend was the long snapper, Danny Aiken, getting cut. And I think anytime that's the case, and you probably didn't have too many really shocking moves. I think the Mallett trade. I expected them to keep three quarterbacks, but the Mallett trade certainly did not come as a surprise to anybody. You know, he's been rumored to be on the go throughout the offseason, so that wasn't a stunner.
It would have been a surprise if they had gotten something for him.
Right.
You know?
I feel the same way. Now, that's obviously when, you know, a guy who has never played, that's what he's worth. You know, is a seventh-round pick, and if he's able to play for the Texans, you know, maybe it could be a sixth. But not certainly no surprise there.
Can we? This is a topic that they brought up to me on Comcast the other night. Clearly, you took a loss on Ryan Mallett. You drafted him in the third round, and 4 years later, you traded him for a seventh-round pick, which can be a sixth if he's the Houston starter. Is that a failing in Ryan Mallett's talents, a failing in your evaluations when you drafted him, or a failure to develop him?
You know, you could make a case for any one of those. Really.
And I think certainly a year after he didn't play, you have to say, could you have done a better job of getting him out there, marketing him, basically getting him some reps, which would aid his development, but also
but
maybe.
How do you do that with a team like this?
I mean, well, late in games, they never put anybody else in.
Yeah, but
very
rarely.
Yeah.
Does that really help you develop?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know the answer, but they didn't, and his situation didn't work out.
And by the way, we saw nothing to tell us that Ryan Mallett could be a successful NFL quarterback here. But no. I'm not saying he couldn't, all right? With that development you're talking about, time and experience, maybe he could.
Now,
you know, but we never saw it, and that's always been our point.
And over the course of the years, we've had various people tell us that it existed, from Adam Schefter to Mike Mayock to even Bill Belichick during late-season press conferences when we're no longer seeing him. talking about how Ryan's done in practice and impressed us and making throws and these things. But you're right. We personally, as analysts of this team, have never seen it.
A couple things on that. I think last year, I agree with Andy that they don't generally ever put the backup in blowouts. Last year was not a year for that, however. They did not have blowouts last
year. That's true.
They had all close games, so I don't give them any criticism whatsoever for not developing him last year. I will say that I know that, Andy, you said you didn't really know when Fred asked you how much that would help. I don't think that's necessarily a showcase. If you don't get a chance to play meaningful snaps, I don't really know how much that is showcasing.
Right, but talking Brady's down for a game or two, and you had to come in. That's where you can show it.
Right, and Matt Castle would not have garnered anything heading into 2008 if the Patriots had traded him, and by all accounts, they were looking to move on from him. They, if you recall, they had quarterbacks in that week for tryouts. I think Tim Rattay was one of them, I want to say.
Well, they knew his stock would never be higher.
No, his stock was low.
Oh, we're talking about before
they were about, yes,
oh,
they were
yes,
about
right,
to cut
right,
ties.
Right, right.
Then he got a chance to play.
Right.
And that's obviously how you parlay that into a commodity. And he played well, and you were able to deal him and Vrabel for a second-round pick. So that works out. But that's rare because you don't
But
Tom
the starting
Brady doesn't
point
get hurt.
Was different there. You're talking about a guy who never played in college and is a late-round pick, as opposed to a guy that I think you drafted with the sole purpose of turning into a commodity.
And it was a value pick.
Right.
A value pick.
I don't think there was any other reason they took Ryan Mallett than the expectation that at some point they would trade him for value.
Right.
And you didn't get value. So where is the failing there? That's my only question. Was it him? Your original evaluation of his talent, he just really wasn't all that good. He wasn't value as a third-round pick. Or did you fail to develop him over the course of 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, again, you never know what happens when you draft one of these guys. You never know when you're going to need to use them. Fortunately, they didn't need to use them. And that's no one's failing. That's, good fortune for the team. I think that they, I don't know. I wasn't a big Arkansas fan, so I don't know, what he did in the SEC there. But
yet, you saw enough out of Jimmy Garoppolo, too.
I did.
And I'm only half saying this tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
Because you did say in February how much you loved Jimmy Garoppolo.
I actually looked at him before. I had no reason to be looking at quarterbacks back then. So I,
One thing that sticks out to me is they don't have I don't think the system is for Ryan Mallett. I don't think Ryan Mallett is without. And if I can understand why a guy like Mike Mayock, beyond the stuff that we criticize, he's Belichick's Bobo and he's doing him a favor. But beyond that, I can understand why a guy would look at him and say, this guy has NFL talent. I don't think it fits this system. His NFL talent, I don't think, is right for the Patriots system. I don't know.
Agree.
I don't know for sure. Like you said, I don't know every X's and O scheme oriented thing, but I look at this guy as a big, tall, vertical passer with a big arm who looks a little to me slow in his decision making at times, not necessarily fleet of foot. I don't care about being fast, but not quick on his feet. Although I did think he improved in that area in this preseason. I thought he made some good plays moving around the pocket. I just don't think getting the ball out on a quick 3-step drop or a 5-step drop, shotgun, 5 wide, bang, the ball's out. I don't think that's for him. I think he's more of a down the field, let it develop kind of passer. Maybe that fits somewhere else. Now, it's strange to me that he goes to Houston,
well, that's what I was
which
ask.
Is a similar system. I don't know if he's going to get an opportunity to do anything different
there. I think they did us a favor, actually. I mean, I think it's true that they have been talking about this for a long time. They say since the spring.
Sure.
They don't really have a quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick is...
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, he's a journeyman, and he always will be.
He's a real journeyman. He's played on a bunch of teams.
In both definitions. And he'll never be a master of his trade.
Right.
And so they're looking for a quarterback. They're looking for the guy of the future. Godsey knows him. O'Brien knows him. Maybe again, we're not privy to everything. Maybe there is something there with Ryan Mallett that's just going to take time, and the Patriots just never had it for him. And maybe they feel they do. I know they've spent, from reading, that a lot of time with this Savage kid that they drafted, and they have high hopes for him. But maybe they do see something, but it's a glimmer. Because otherwise, this wouldn't have taken till, you know, the day of cuts and only a conditional seventh round pick.
It's a lottery pick for them.
Yeah. So if they knew that's something that we didn't and it was, you know, more than just that little glimmer, they would have given up more than they did and sooner.
Right. They're just
because they would have wanted him in the system working all summer.
Correct. I think they're just, it's a lottery pick. They're rolling the dice. If by chance he hits, okay, we didn't give up anything to get him. If he doesn't hit, we didn't really give up anything to get him.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I agree totally with Fred. You know, people in the immediate aftermath of the trade on Sunday morning, people were constantly commenting on how, oh, he must have, Belichick must have been a great poker player, how he could have gotten this. He somehow convinced Belichick, O'Brien that Buffalo and Dallas, I think, were two of the teams that were rumored to be. So, in other words, they were willing to offer less than a seventh-round pick.
Exactly.
I mean, you got a seventh-round pick for him.
Right.
Okay, so even if you want to make the argument, well, Houston was the worst team in the league, so it's a high seventh-round pick as opposed to a mid-seventh-round pick.
But it's 2016.
Please. Yeah, of course.
Right.
I mean,
it's years away.
It's 2 years
it's
away.
It's nothing. I mean, like,
right.
This was, I think, worked out for both teams. The Patriots clearly had no need for the player. They were going to lose him for probably a seventh-round compensatory pick next year when he signs somewhere. And instead, you trade him to a team who, as you guys just mentioned, has a journeyman quarterback and a rookie fourth-round pick who's probably not ready to play right away. And now you add this guy to the mix. Maybe, as Andy called it, a lottery ticket. Maybe there's something there for Bill O'Brien. It works out for both teams.
Right.
Sometimes you just look at it. You don't have to declare a winner
right.
of everything.
Right.
Like this, like we fleece them. Anytime that Belichick's involved, the knee-jerk reaction is for the national guys and the local guys to jump all over themselves saying, well, I would hate to have to make a trade with Bill Belichick. I mean, sometimes trades just work out for both parties.
And that's
parties.
What he said. His answer was, you know, it worked out for both teams, and that's sort of how trade should
right.
be.
So now the more important question to us here covering the team is, what does it say about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I thought it was very interesting what Bill said yesterday, and I don't know if we have that sound from EEI, but he said Garoppolo was going to be the backup here, and we all knew that, or something to that effect. And this was obvious based on everything of the summer. The exact phrasing, but
Bill
I thought
said
it was
that on
interesting.
The radio.
Yeah. The exact phrasing of it, I thought, was
getting
very
better,
interesting.
Getting
interesting.
Better and better every day, all summer long.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of us said that too, but a lot of times what we see and what he says are two different things.
Well, we also thought that, you know, Jimmy kind of evened out toward the end of the summer.
Jimmy.
And, you know, I would say
the Jimmy thing makes me laugh. When Dan Roach does it on the preseason broadcast, Jimmy.
Instead of the last name, you mean?
Yes. Or,
you know, when you look at that last game against the Giants where he had the whole game to himself, you didn't really see all the flash plays to Tim's and all that stuff. And he kind of leveled out a little bit and came back to the what he should be as a rookie from a 1AA school.
And got lucky to not throw about six picks.
Right, right.
He threw his first pick, he got his first NFL sack, and he could have had a lot more picks.
But I think it says a lot. Despite that, they knew probably before that Giants game that, you know, who they had here.
See, I still think it's interesting. I don't know what they had. You know, we've talked about this a lot, that we don't like Mallett. We don't, not personally, we don't like his development as a player. Don't feel great about him having to play, so you might as well play Garoppolo. Even if you don't feel great about Garoppolo, he's the future. As Bill said last week, he's going to be the starter at some point, so give him the starting job in the fourth preseason game just so he could get used to it. Well, he's going to be the starter at some point, so why not get him the reps, the developmental reps? Gets back to our question of developing a backup. Just get him the reps. Whenever they come, if they're mop-up reps or if Brady goes down with some sort of injury, there's nothing to invest in Ryan Mallett. There's something to invest in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Because I'm not sure I feel great about Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's going to get his ass blitzed off and could look really ugly if he has to play at times.
Well, right now, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like you feel so good about him following Brady that, well, Mallett was an extra. Yeah. No, Mallett had plateaued and you knew you weren't going anywhere with Mallett, so invest in Jimmy.
But they felt that way about Jimmy. Brian Hoyer. When he was a rookie, obviously, they felt, you know, if Brady goes down, we're going with Brian Hoyer.
Well, yeah, they've been wrong a lot with their backup. They felt that back way about Rohan Davey, who sucked. I mean, they've been wrong with their assessments of backup quarterbacks a number of times over the years.
Right.
But
the difference is, what was the alternative with Hoyer? That's all they had.
Right.
I mean, other than Castle, the best backup they've had since Belichick was probably Damon Heward.
Vinny Testaverde?
Well, yeah, I guess Testaverde was
but
good.
The big difference for me is...
No, he was not. He was the third-string quarterback, 111 years old.
He could win you a game.
He was not going to play.
No, but in a pinch, emergency, you would have felt at least comfortable.
Right.
He was a starter formerly. Yeah. He runs an offense. You could feel comfortable. Oh. Sad news about backup quarterbacks, though, for the Patriots.
Jimmy wasn't at practice?
Chris Barker took the other guy?
No more McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Oh.
One practice, and that was
fast.
It. Yeah, three new guys on the practice squad.
McLeod Bethel Thompson sprinted out of here like Bethel Johnson.
We think one of them is Chris Barker. We think another one might be Steve Mineri, based on the jersey numbers that were assigned to them.
Chris Barker was reportedly coming back.
Yeah.
I saw that last night.
And a running back wearing 33. I don't believe it's Kevin Falk, because I don't think he has practice squad eligibility at this point. I'm kidding. But he was wearing number 33. Don't know who he is. The guys who weren't on the practice squad that were listed as being there, McLeod, Canoris Davis, and Daxton Swanson.
Oh, Canoris.
Mm. Was the running back small? Could it have been Finch?
No, he looked bulkier. He didn't look like Finch. One thing that did throw me off from the other day, Malcolm Butler is now wearing 21. The new guy, Don Jones, is wearing 29. So if for those of you who like to follow jersey numbers, that's a change you have to make on your roster. Darius Fleming, this was from the other day, wearing 58 now, not 44 any longer. So
yeah, someone else changed to Zach Moore. I think is he 92,
Zach
93,
Moore is now
90-something.
90.
90.
Yes.
It was 90-something.
And perfect attendance. Full pads today for the first
full
real
pads.
Practice of
well, we
Dolphins
didn't get
week.
Just so, you know, to stay off the stave off the questions we get, how
yes.
they look, we don't know because
well,
we don't get to watch the...
We got to watch stretching and two periods.
Yeah.
So we got a full 15 minutes today. We got
Ooh.
To see a little bit of... Of position group
right.
action.
But no 11 on 11.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So we don't know how Gronk looked.
No, just you know, running through the bags.
Look good.
Catching the ball a little bit.
To be fair, if he looked bad in that, it would be a bad sign.
Yeah, it would be a bad sign. Right.
So, I mean, that was the other piece of news after the cuts and the trade. First thing on Monday.
Before we move on, could Kevin actually got the audio on Garoppolo from Bill that I. That
okay,
I
let's roll on that. Let's roll on that.
Ryan Mallett, what went into the decision to trade Ryan Mallett to Houston and essentially make Jimmy Garoppolo the number two quarterback?
Well, I'd just say the short end of it is that we thought that was what was best for the football team. So I think Jimmy's got a good future. He needs to play. He needs to get reps. You know, I have a lot of confidence in Ryan, but that transition was going to happen. We could all see that. Based on a number of circumstances, and you know, I feel like we got fair value for Ryan from Houston. So, and I know Ryan's excited about the opportunity. So, I mean, I think that there was kind of worked out for everybody, which is what a good trade does.
All right. So, to be fair, based on a number of circumstances, one of them is his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was another reason besides performance.
But you didn't have to make him the backup now based on his contract.
No, you didn't.
You could wait till he was a second-year player, and then he ascends to backup.
No,
right.
But
you wouldn't get that valuable seventh-round pick.
But, you know,
I'm surprised that he said it.
And we're not going to get
as definitively as he did.
He also
earlier, though. He said that back in the draft, he said, you know, about Ryan Mallett's circumstances.
No, he said our quarterback situation.
Situation.
With
is
everything.
Brady.
He included Brady. He didn't really – it was more Brady.
But it was also Mallett, the fact that he was in the last year of his contract. He said that.
I meant about Garoppolo.
I think at the draft he specifically said Tom's situation, contract situation.
Yeah, Tom's contract situation I think he may have said.
I think he specifically said Tom at the draft.
I believe you're right.
That's why people have been a flutter about
I'm
it ever since.
I'm pretty sure he didn't say Ryan's contract situation.
I'm pretty sure you have that sound, Kevin.
I thought it was interesting, though, based on what we've just talked about. He needs to play. He needs to get reps.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I thought
that's in that development process.
Well,
and but is he going to play?
Just practice.
No, see, I think he's talking. And we talked about this on the pregame. You mentioned the social. Andy and I talked about this. That's why, and we both were in agreement on it. I wanted to only have two, because even in practice, right, even if you want to say Mallett was better and he's still the number two, okay, you can make the argument that maybe for the here and now, if something would have happened to Brady, you'd be better off keeping Mallett. I looked at it differently, just saying it's better for Garoppolo to be the man, mm-hmm, and he's running all the scout team stuff. He's running all the extra things that Brady can't do during the course of the week. It's all on Garoppolo, and he doesn't have to worry about Mallett and Garoppolo splitting those, because it's not what's best for Garoppolo short-term and long-term.
Right.
Now, I personally feel if something were to happen to Brady significant, it doesn't really matter if it was Mallett or Garoppolo. I think you're in the same boat.
At this point, right.
Yeah, I don't think you have much of a shot.
Yep.
You know, I think that Mallett's a little better, but I don't think that's enough to have kept him. I think this was the right move, and you did the best you could.
Maybe Mallett would have been better if Tim Tebow didn't get all those reps last summer.
All right, so we heard that sound from Bill on WEI. So going to Gronkowski on Monday, he was very eager to tell the world that he's ready to go and he will be playing, which was then kind of, you know, pump the brakes. I know we hate that term, but Bill Belichick kind of pumped the brakes on that, saying, you know, with all respect, due respect to Rob, you know, that decision will be made by the coaches
later in the week.
Right.
Right. He's glad he feels that way, but with all due respect, we'll make that decision later.
Don't you think that there had to be some sort of green light given?
Yeah,
to him?
I still say there's something up there, because
not everybody thinks that, though.
I mean, he came out there like
think that.
Rodney Harrison does not think.
Oh,
that.
That's right.
Yeah. Rob came out there like a puppy chasing a ball. I mean, he was so eager to say that. So, and he, like I said, he spent the whole last year dodging these types of questions, so he knows what is expected of him with these types of questions in that type of setting, yet he chose to right away say it. So somehow, maybe there was a miscommunication, but somehow he got the impression that it was okay to say that.
Well, Christian Fourier was joking yesterday that this was some sort of test by Belichick. They had some sort of meeting, and whatever the message was, and Gronk didn't exactly get the right message and went out there.
Like I said, it could be a miscommunication, but I'm pretty sure he was under the impression it was okay to say, because he was so eager to do it. No one had a crowbar that out of him.
No. But what do you
and
make?
Said it repeatedly. Not yeah. just like oh, yeah. once and then yeah. like stepped
he
away
from
it.
He was even joking with us about breaking it.
Right.
And
right.
then he was joking.
You don't have to cite anonymous sources.
Yeah, and he joked with Mike Reese. And he goes, there you go. There you go, Mike. You know, you don't have to break it or something like that.
Right.
Like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
So let's just hope that, you know,
but what
it's
do you
true.
Make of Rodney Harrison thinking?
What does he know?
No.
I mean, really?
Oh, I forgot. As he doesn't wear the jersey anymore.
Right. As much
he's
as I
no
don't
longer
friend,
a respected ex-captain.
What does he or Brewski know? They don't know what's going on.
It strikes me as a little of, and Andy and I were joking about this, like, in my day.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, that's what it strikes me
that's
as.
Why, like, a lot of coaches, I don't know if Belichick's one of them, but I've heard a lot of coaches say that, you know, we love the veterans, but keep them away from the team, because all they do is pollute.
Well, certainly,
you know,
based
I mean,
on
the ex-players. Yeah. Yeah. Not the veteran players, the ex-players.
Based
yeah.
on the Hall of Fame inductions we see every year, all they do is tell stories about
right.
drinking, ignoring Belichick, like all these things.
You know, they really can't help you that much. So, but we all hope that what Gronkowski is saying is true.
He's going to be on the field,
oh,
he's going to catch a touchdown.
He's playing
Book it.
Sunday.
Really? You think so?
Of course.
Okay.
When has he not caught a touchdown?
He plays. I mean, the odds are overwhelmingly.
I think he'll play.
I'm beaming.
A limited number of snaps,
but
I think he'll score.
Oh, yeah, he'll be limited, because the last time we saw him on the practice field, his conditioning was not up to par.
Yeah, now, first of all, you're going into the first game of the season, which always results in guys constantly coming in and out of the game, even linemen that normally play.
Well, especially in the weather.
But now you couple that, you go into Miami with a guy who missed all of the preseason. Now, he's been out there, but he hasn't played, so he's not in game shape. So you, all those factors, yeah, you're lucky if he plays half the snaps
right.
offensively.
I'll take it.
But
just red zone.
But Andy's right.
Right.
I don't care. Red zone, green zone, whatever. He'll catch a touchdown.
Wow. Blue zone, yellow zone.
I think he's right. I think Andy's absolutely right. When he
you don't
plays
think he's
in
a
game,
lock to catch a touchdown?
When he plays in
I
a
guess
game,
you're right.
he's going
mean,
to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 16 touchdown guy a season. Right?
I mean, look at his numbers last year. He had like 600 yards and 40 catches in six games.
Right.
I mean, basically six games. The seventh game, he got hurt.
And on the seventh
four
game,
touchdowns. I mean, he is what he is. The when he's healthy is a fair, you have to say it. But when he's healthy, he kicks ass, takes names, and he's the best.
Right.
And he's going to do that against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
If he doesn't score a touchdown, I think it's really bad news for your chances of winning in Miami.
And oh, by the way, the Dolphins' best safety is suspended. So
well, and I was just going to say,
who isn't suspended anymore?
We'll get into more of the game tomorrow, the actual matchup. But does Miami have anybody that would match up with Gronkowski?
Nobody has anybody that would match up with Gronkowski.
I don't think anybody does.
I mean, a semblance of a try?
No.
No?
Not one-on-one.
No.
No. You need double teams on right. him, yeah. at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nobody in this NFL that can block up.
You know, that said, they're a lot better in pass defense than they are in run defense.
Yes. Well, they
can't stop. They can't stop anybody in the. Well, they couldn't last year. Andy's right. We don't know.
And their nose tackle signed a $40 million contract to go to Atlanta.
Thanks, Bill. There's always a lot of uncertainty on opening day. Should we get that?
Miami has all five new offensive linemen, and Bill goes, that's pretty much the same for every team. Yeah. No, Bill, you got all yours back except the guy you decided to trade. So it's not the same for every
trader for a bag of balls.
Everything's the same.
So, all right. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline, 855-PATS-500. Excited about the new season. This is the first of the in-season episodes. You're excited.
Well, I'm excited, and it's one thing I brought up to you guys yesterday. Like, on paper, this is a boring season because on paper, you just go right fast forward, boom, AFC title game, Patriots, Broncos. Well, I don't know where the game's going to be. It'll either be in Denver, Gillette Stadium, blah, blah, blah. But then you look at it on paper, like as in the depth chart, and the paper is incomplete. And I said this to you guys yesterday. Who's starting at left guard? Who's starting at center? Who's starting at right guard? Who's starting at right tackle?
Well, we don't know, but they
Who's
know.
Starting at tight end? Yeah. Who's starting at safety? Who's starting at left defensive end? Who's starting at right defensive end? Who's starting at right cornerback? Who's the long snapper? There's like 10 jobs, half the starting jobs. Mm-hmm. If you asked me, what's your old Martin Grammatica, hold a knife to my throat? I can't necessarily tell you who the starters are going to be at all those positions.
I thought it was funny, too, in Bill's opener today, and he was talking about the Dolphins and what a good team, certain players they have. He specifically pointed out the long snapper as a guy. really good guy.
He's jealous.
Really good long snapper.
He's jealous. He doesn't have one. We always want what we don't have.
Get him.
It's funny, though.
Ixnay on the ampering tag.
I'm only kidding. But even then, who the starters are could depend, especially on defense. Like, it might be different if we were starting the season off against the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to add. Are we 3-4 or 4-3? We don't know.
Yeah.
I assume that you had us in a 3-4 since you didn't know who the defensive ends were.
Right, because otherwise I would know who the defensive ends were.
So I put 2 and 2 together there.
But I don't know that for sure. No. For all I know, they're going to come out in a 4-3 front as their base defense. And I just find it funny that for a team that is assumed to be at a certain point, boom, favoring 9-1, second best favorite to go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, whatever, AFC title game. It's all assumed. I can't even name you half the starters on this damn team.
Does the fact that the Patriots are opening up in Miami, it's going to be hot no matter what.
Going to be hot.
First game. Nobody's really in game shape yet because nobody's played a full game. Does that help Dominic Easley maybe get a few reps? Because they're going to have to be subbing in and out anyway.
I think a lot of guys are going to get reps.
But,
you probably
but we haven't seen Easley.
The 40s, anybody who's active is going to play in that game.
Were you going to say the 46?
Yeah, anybody who's active in the 46. That's what I was going
to
say.
46 guys are active going to have to play.
Probably except for Garoppolo.
Right. I don't know. He needs reps. He needs to play.
Wouldn't that be funny if he just went out like college, second quarter, fourth series. We got a package for Garoppolo.
And then in the postgame, did what we think is in the best interest of the football team. Wait a minute, Bill. Benching Brady's in the best interest of the football team?
No. And then someone would say, that's pretty much the way we thought it was going to go. Yeah. Some of that. Were you surprised that Garoppolo went in?
But yes, I think Easley has to play.
Yeah.
That wasn't nice, Paul.
No, I think Easley will play.
Okay.
I don't know for sure.
I'm basing that on nothing factual, but just my feeling.
Because if he doesn't play, well, then who's playing?
Right.
I mean, Chris Jones is fine. Okay, he's playing unless he isn't fine.
Silver Salinga is
over. Fine.
He says he's fine.
Unless he isn't fine.
No, but he says he's ready to play on Sunday. As I wrote on
that
the blog.
That didn't get as much
attention. Didn't get as much attention as that was my lead.
You don't have to cite anonymous sources.
Didn't get as much attention on Monday as Gronk did, but I physically they're ready to play.
But they all have to play. Is Wilfork going to play wire to wire in his first game back in 99 degree heat now, coming off an Achilles? So Salinga's going to have to play nose tackle, or Volano's going to have to play some end and some nose tackle.
But you also have two guys that you claimed off of waivers that you're probably trying to figure out exactly what you have. I don't know if they'll be...
Oh, so this is the fifth preseason game? We're just going to see what we have?
I don't know if they'll still be on the team come Sunday. And if they are, my guess is that they'll be inactive because of how little
I think 46 of the active 46 are going to play.
Yeah,
you know, either get a snap
Garoppolo.
Or something.
Yeah,
probably not him, but the rest of them I think will play.
Yeah,
which
I
will
agree.
Actually be one extra player,
but you know what,
if you don't have long snap.
If it's a blowout, maybe Garoppolo gets some snaps.
Yeah, I wouldn't
in the
anticipate
quarter.
A blowout.
No, but I mean, if they're up 30 to 6 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I don't think that Bill would play him, but
he should.
I think
though.
That
I
is
mean,
a blowout. I think
reps.
that would qualify as a blowout.
He said he needs reps. Do we really think that Rob Ninkovich could be the long snapper?
It's possible.
Because I don't.
I think it's
really slim and none chances.
I don't think so either. He'll sign somebody.
Wow. As of right now, it has to be because they don't have one on the active roster.
Charlie Hewlett's gone.
No, he's not. He's here. He's here? On the practice squad. Oh,
okay. No, he's not. He's here.
Danny Aiken's gone.
Well, they could bring him up.
Yeah, but
you
they
have
could
to
wait
keep him on the roster for how many weeks?
No, you don't.
No.
Oh, you don't?
That's
he's
only
your own
if you claim
squad.
Someone from someone else's practice squad.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, the issue
just
is, though.
Just enough information to get us in trouble.
Right.
You.
Charlie Hewlett, as you like to say it.
Charlie Hewlett.
Wasn't good enough to stick around to even fight for the job.
They
had to replace him
somewhere.
With Tyler Ott. And now, all of a sudden, he's on the practice squad. Why isn't Aiken on the practice squad? Under new rules, Aiken could be on the practice squad, right?
Yeah,
so why isn't Aiken
I
there?
Know.
Why?
No, this is his fourth year.
I thought it was his third year. Oh, maybe not then.
No, it's his fourth year because they didn't tend to him, but he was a restricted free agent. But they didn't offer him a tender, and they just re-signed
they signed him.
Him
at the minimum.
Yeah,
him a little
so
bit
it
of
is
a bonus.
His fourth year. So
he wouldn't
but
have been
still,
well, then why isn't Tyler Ott on the practice
your
squad?
Your point still holds true.
He ought be there.
He ought be there.
Well, he was bad too. He was pretty wild.
I don't know how bad Charlie Hewlett is. I barely seen Charlie Hewlett.
how do you say it?
I don't know. He's talking really fast again.
Charlie,
I learned it from Bruschi. All right.
My guess is that somebody will get signed, and I wouldn't be stunned if it were Aiken.
The Hoker?
The Hoker.
Russ Hochstein. He still lives
snap?
In the area.
I don't think it'll be.
One other thing.
He used to be the backup long snapper, I believe. Didn't
one
he?
Other item, Patriots related.
Yeah.
We should get out there on the table. Wes Welker partying it up at the Kentucky Derby, supposedly.
Patriots right again. They saw this coming. Yeah. That's why they let him go.
Unbelievable.
According to Tom Curran.
He flatly denies it.
He
in an
flatly
email
denies
to the,
it.
He
says
the
that
Denver
somebody
Post.
May have slipped something in his drink.
Which is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Can we call it what it is?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Who knew Darren Sharper was also at the Kentucky Derby?
Right.
So he's not...
he liked Wes's wife, and that's who he thought
he's
he
not arguing that the drug test was a false negative or false positive, whatever you want to call it. He's arguing that...
well, it would be false.
He didn't
positive.
Take... whatever it is that they found, he
I passed? No, you should test that again. I shouldn't know.
Whatever it is they found, he didn't take knowingly. That's what he's arguing.
Yeah, he's lying. I don't believe any of these guys.
Why,
I'm going to remain consistent.
Them?
No.
They're all lying, cheating. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing because I still think, you know, he's a guy that has issues, right? I don't know what he's using this for. Maybe for this makes his concussions, his headaches go away when he gets on these, whatever this does to him. They say it makes you feel good. It gives you a little boost or whatever. But he didn't get anything slipped in his drink at the Kentucky Derby.
Well, and
that's laughable as Tom Brady
and
showed.
And the thing is, in his denial, he specifically talked about, I would never do anything, a performance-enhancing drug, which could be categorically true, and still he'd be guilty of this, because obviously Molly isn't a performance-enhancing drug, if that's what it is. It's an entertainment thing. He was doing it to have a good
but
time.
But Adderall is what people are saying. Denver Post is reporting he failed for Adderall,
because
which
it
is
was,
cut with the
right,
whatever.
Because, you know,
yeah, but we make fun of everybody else when they say we took Adderall, except Brian Timms. He's been taking it since he was 9.
I do, but everybody else.
But it's an amphetamine, and it speeds you up a little bit. And so that would be part of this concoction to have a good time at this party. He could be absolutely telling the truth when he said, I have never taken anything to enhance my performance.
But that's the best you can hope for. From his perspective, is that he thought he was taking Molly. And that it was not a performance-enhancing drug.
But in his email,
that's the best he could hope for. I don't believe that.
Well, but
he's a cheater.
Yeah,
just like they're all cheating.
In his email to the Post, he flatly denies
he says
doing
it wasn't
drugs.
Molly.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He says I don't do any drugs ever.
Right.
I don't even know what a Molly is. He said, and he also said that the system the testing system was flawed, and I'm gonna fight that too.
So I agree, it's flawed, but not for the reasons he thinks it's flawed.
But he seems to be like he wants
to shows up
lead a crusade to change the way drug testing is done.
Well,
in the NFL.
The one thing we know is,
and David Ortiz is gonna find out for MLB, and everybody, you know, and OJ's looking for the real murderer of his wife. Join the club, Wes.
I'm just saying.
The one thing we do know is that if he had stayed a Patriot, this wouldn't have happened.
All right,
I agree.
What do you mean, Paul?
Nothing.
Paul, you have an interesting take on this.
You want to hear my take on this, Freddie?
Hot sports take coming from Paulie Paul Perillo.
Welker's going through some significant concussion issues, right?
Right.
A lot of people didn't think he was going to play in week one anyway.
Yep.
Or shouldn't.
You know, and everybody thinks he shouldn't. But a lot of people didn't think he was going to play in week one. A lot of people think he should have sat out anyway. So maybe if you wanted to say he'll sit out the first week or two. That's why he's suspended, because I don't think the NFL suspends a guy like Wes Welker. And I think they cover it up.
He doesn't think Wes Welker, the name that is Wes Welker, would get suspended in the NFL, but he thinks they suspended him for their own purposes of keeping him safe and not going out on the field with a concussion.
Well, but this thing happened a long time ago. He's been trying to appeal it.
Right, Paul's saying he would have won the appeal and it would have gone away.
You didn't find out about it until... The concussions came up.
I don't rule anything out, but I don't know.
Obviously, I'm being, you know,
a Rodney little, Harrison gets suspended.
I'm being
a big star. Well, Wes is more than just a good little player. You saying?
You know, Rodney Harrison didn't get caught by the league, right?
Right. Thank you.
Okay. I know.
That's what
he got caught by FedEx,
right? And the authorities,
right?
But so. if he didn't get caught with that, he'd still be using HGH. That's not apples.
Well, the other
apples.
Thing about Rodney is he. Immediately fessed up and, you know, threw himself at the mercy of the court.
And I'm didn't say somebody slipped that in my mailbox.
I'm being facetious, obviously, with the Welker situation, but it's not
my cousins.
It's not the worst thing in the world for him, because now I think he comes back, you know, for the fifth game, and it's actually going to benefit him even more because one of the weeks is a bye week, so it's an extra week that he has to sit out. I think he might have a chance to actually play the last 12 games. I don't think that he had much of a shot. If he came back as quickly, they were talking about him already starting to catch passes from Manning and getting ready to practice. Hadn't been cleared for contact, but getting ready to practice and stuff like that. He was going to come back too soon, and he was going to get concussed again.
What if he slipped it in his own drink? You know, like you go over and you got two drinks, but then you accidentally mix them up. Like he was giving it to his wife or some girl, and you're looking a little... It's possible, right?
Now you got him being a creep and an idiot.
Well, if it's his wife, is he creepy?
Did you guys mention...
You know what CeeLo Green says. Did you see that, Fred?
No.
CeeLo Green said if she's passed out, it's not rape.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be up there in one of the top five dumbest things ever said.
Wow. All right. 508-298-0398 is
really?
The H-Ticket Hotline. Let's get on the lines. We have people holding on since the beginning of the show. Let's start off with Antoine in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great. Thanks for holding on.
Mr. Excitement.
Oh, no doubt.
You need a little Molly.
I'm just so glad that, you know, we back to 3 days a week with y'all, you know what I mean? It's just a lovely thing.
It is a lovely thing, even though this week it's only two.
But I actually got two questions. And I think I'm reading a little bit too much into the Gronk, you know, saying he's, you know, ready. And then I hear, you know, Belichick, you know, when he was on the radio talking about, you know, pump your brakes, Gronk. What I actually think might happen is Belichick may just hold him out for one game, just to like, you know, just this would be like a slap on the wrist, like, yo, you know, we don't talk about, you know, things out in public like that. I know he was excited, you know, to come back, but you know how we do as an organization. We don't really sit up there and say a lot to the media as far as like injuries and stuff like that and playing time and stuff like that. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
So you think he won't play this week?
No, I don't think he will play this week.
Wow. I think that'd be a big story.
If he doesn't, it's not because of discipline.
You've created a scandal.
Yeah.
A scandal.
Yeah, I don't.
The best you're going
to
get.
Andy, I didn't mean to. Andy, I didn't mean to.
I mean, in terms of, like, offenses that you could do to make Bill Belichick mad, I think what Wes Welker did in Bill Belichick's book is, you know, when he talked about Rex Ryan and made fun of the foot and all that, I think that was worse in Bill Belichick's book than what Gronk did.
Than directly disobeying an order?
No, but, you know, disrespecting an opponent and all that stuff, especially another
head coach.
Well,
you're disrespecting Bill Belichick if you directly disobey an order.
Yeah, you know, youthful enthusiasm you chalk it up to.
How long does he get to be youthful?
All right, just let me
finish
my thought.
Youthful enthusiasm.
I think that all that happened with Welker was he was benched a series, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think he would hold Gronk out a game if he was mad about
that. If Bill said, we don't talk about injuries, and he went out there and just said, I'm playing this week, I'm good to go, you don't think he'd be mad about that?
Yeah, but I think he would be mad.
He would sit out the first series.
He would be mad.
Right. At least.
Yeah, but he knows where his bread is buttered.
Right, you want to win the game.
You want to win the game.
What's in the best interest of the team.
It's pretty much apples to
apples.
And
it's not in the best interest of the team to take out a healthy Gronk for a whole game.
Actually, it is, because having 53 players who actually obey the orders of the coaches is in the best interest of the football. No, I'm not. That is how Bill looks at things.
Not for that level.
But that's what he already did it.
Playing Gronk at any cost just because he's Gronk is not in the best interest.
And that's what I said.
Right. He'll get it for the whole game.
No, first of all, I didn't say anything. Antoine said it.
Right. He didn't. Right. He didn't.
But you agree with Antoine.
I agree with Antoine. I think there will be serious discipline if Bill Belichick said, don't talk about your injury or say anything. And he went out. Now, I don't think that's the case, because I don't think Bill would be laughing it off and saying, with all due respect to Gronk, we'll make that decision
later.
But
do you consider the Welker thing serious?
Not as serious as the first.
But it was the same thing. He told him specifically not to say it. He said it, and he just sat him up for a
series. But that's a one-case scenario. In this, you're talking about like a top 10 commandment of being a New England Patriot player dealing with the media. You never talk about your own injury. You never say when you're going to play. That is like top 10 on the
list. You also don't disrespect the opponent.
And that's fine, but that was a specific incident.
I would say that that's a top 10. Right.
So we'll hold him out two series if he's mad.
I think this is a bigger offense. I don't think it's an issue, because I think Gronk will be playing from snap one, because I think Gronk got the green light to say it.
To me, the offense is if true, and again, we don't know, but if he did tell him specifically not to, the offense is not listening to what the coach told him to do.
Right.
To me, it's not about this being more serious. What's more serious about it? Nothing. It means nothing.
I think that's one of Bill Belichick's core principles.
And I think Fred's right. Another one of his core principles is not to do anything to disrespect the opponent. I think they're equal. I think that he disregarded what the coach said in both cases.
Yeah,
I think it's ridiculously overblown in Welker's case.
See, I assume Bill tells the team about 1,000 things over the course of the year to do and not do that you could disregard and say you're not following an order. I don't put each and every one of those on the same level as we don't talk about our injuries, we don't talk about another player's contract, or, you know, whatever those.
And we don't talk about
the
other team.
We don't disrespect the opponent.
I put the other team right in there with those two things that you just mentioned.
Yeah, see, I don't.
I would.
Based on what I've heard, they've been told.
I think you're being stubborn. All right, what else?
Well, I'm always going to be stubborn.
You don't have to be like that. We're just having a discussion.
Well, Antoine's on the line
here. If you don't agree with Fred, you're being stubborn.
Right.
I want Antoine to have a shot here.
This is how you have a disagreement.
Okay.
You know, it's an intelligent disagreement.
We have a guest on the line. Antoine, go.
How long are we going here?
This is back. I love this, man. I love this. My other thing is that I actually want to fast forward to week 4. And then you have a decision with either Browner or with Brian Timms to put him back on the roster. Do you think that we put both of them back on, one of them, or, you know?
Well, Browner's definitely going to be back. Browner's definitely going back on. I would bet almost anything he's going to go back on. Timms, I think it depends on how, A, the wide receiver corps is performing, and B, how healthy they are. If they need a wide receiver, he's going to be back.
You know, one of those guys outside the 46, maybe they cut. And he doesn't have to be active right away. He probably won't be.
Yeah, I think he goes to the practice squad.
You think
unless
he goes
there's
to
an injury
squad?
Issue or a specific reason.
Yeah.
First of all, though, I did want to point out, and I meant to talk about this at some point, pretty sure you'll probably have 5 weeks. They generally give you a roster exemption for the guy the week coming off a suspension. Now, oftentimes you don't use it because it's an important guy and, you know, it's Kevin Faulk and I want him on the field that week. He's ready to go. But a guy like Timms or maybe even Browner. I mean, we've all talked about we weren't overly impressed with Browner.
Especially if Dennard's playing really well and
if
things are kind of rolling.
Yeah. Maybe you take the extra week that you have.
Right.
And I'd be interested in Browner's contract. I'm assuming he hasn't made the roster yet, right? He's not on the roster, right?
Right.
So technically, that other $100,000, that other $500,000, doesn't kick in until he is activated from his suspension, I would assume. So if you still think there's any chance he could get cut, maybe there's still.
Not saying. I'm just.
All right, Antoine. Thanks for calling in.
You know who hates him as much as you? Bob Neumeier. Bob Neumeier thinks he stinks.
I don't hate him.
You seem to.
I don't think he's been very good this summer. That's all.
He hasn't. Underwhelmed.
I mean, there's a difference between, you know, hating a guy and not thinking he's
played.
Is
he better
well.
Than the cornerbacks we've had in the past, minus Talib?
Who?
Browner.
No, but is he better than who? Like, is he better than Phillip Adams?
Dennard.
Sterling Moore? Yeah. Yeah.
Arrington.
Is he better than Dennard? No, not from what I've seen.
Okay. Yeah. That's my question.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the cornerbacks that we've had in the past,
I know,
we went
right?
to the Super Bowl with something named Sterling Moore, as they say.
Hank Poteet.
He was better than him.
Yeah. He catapulted you to the Super Bowl with a pass defense.
Yes. Yes, he's better than those guys.
Get
but
beat, Poteet.
I don't think he's better than. I don't think he's been better than Dennard this summer.
Right. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think we're going to either go 13-3 or 14-2 this season.
Okay. I disagree totally.
I think we're going to win the first nine games, and I really can't see us like losing four out of the last seven games.
That's a dangerous game to play. There will be a game that you
Packers.
Yeah, okay.
What?
There will be a game guaranteed that you thought there's no way they're going to lose this that they will lose. I guarantee you that.
They lose one of those every year.
Yep. Yes, and they're also probably going to lose a game you think they're going to lose.
Right.
Whether it's San Diego because it's a tough
Green
spot.
Bay.
Whether it's Green Bay, even at Miami. You can talk yourself into at Miami being a tough spot.
Brian Morey's convinced they're going
to
lose
that game to me. That game to me is at Chargers, though. I think they're going to lose to the Chargers.
Sure, that's a tough game.
You think that's a surprise loss?
No.
Oh.
So what's their surprise loss?
What's the surprise loss?
Isn't this kind of like the surprise cut if it's a surprise?
Kansas City, you could say,
That wouldn't be a surprise
loss. You don't think
loss.
That would be a surprise?
Home against Buffalo.
I think that would be a surprise.
That would be a surprise loss.
See, I went with the game I think they're most going to win. So
home against
Because for it to be a surprise,
well,
yeah, I can't think it could happen.
But
you can't say the Jets is going to be your surprise loss and then say, well, the Jets always play them tough. Well, no, then
that's not
a surprise.
Right. Yeah, so if you look at it, really, there are no surprises.
Home against Buffalo.
Yeah, that might be the only
that
one.
That would be a surprise. Like two
home
years ago,
Miami,
home against Arizona was a surprise.
Would be a surprise.
Right?
To me too.
Remember a couple years ago, they lost week two to Arizona at home.
Yeah, that was definitely.
At Minnesota would
all right,
be a
Justin
surprise
has a
loss.
Quick question.
Stunning.
Go ahead,
Raiders.
Justin.
Stunning.
Why do we keep this Brandon Bolden? Because I feel like he does everything negative but fumble. He's never there. He's never around. I don't understand.
Not great with ball security.
He also fumbles. People like to overlook that just because Ridley fumbles more, but he also fumbles.
He fumbles?
Yeah, he has.
He doesn't have good hands.
He's not perfect.
Now, he hasn't fumbled a lot in the regular season because he hasn't had a lot of chances. But when he's had the ball in his hands in the preseason, he's coughed it up a lot.
Yeah, remember last year? I believe it was a little screen pass.
Detroit.
Boom. He got hurt, I believe, on the same play.
Yeah.
He got hurt and fumbled. You're preaching to the choir here, Justin. I do not get the fascination with Brandon Bolden.
I hear one more person tell me how he's on all four special teams, that's not a reason to keep a running back.
Yeah, he's never around.
Yeah,
you're right.
And he talks about his lack of durability all the time, too. And that's
not just durability,
too.
Though, reliability. There's been other issues other than just injuries.
Like injured.
Yeah, well, he has injuries, he has suspensions, he's disappearing for a couple weeks. 22 of 32 games.
Wait a minute.
What?
He was suspended once for four games.
Yes.
What other game did he miss that wasn't injury related?
I don't know for sure.
He disappeared for a couple of
weeks. He went AWOL.
What are you talking about?
I don't know for sure if he was injured to end of the preseason. He got healthy and then he was out again. I can't just assume he was injured.
Okay, so
I'm not like everybody else
from our radar.
He just went to Club Med for a couple of weeks?
He disappears from our radar.
Right, right. Reliable Patriots we've ever had.
Thank you. Justin.
I don't think he's very good.
It pains me to be aligned with you for certain reasons, but I agree with you wholeheartedly.
All right, thanks for Justin. Go out on a high note.
I don't
like it when you make those jokes.
Oh, okay.
He does not like those jokes. He doesn't think it's fair that you insinuate that he may or may not smoke marijuana.
Steve is a clean. Hey, Steve.
Well, I hung up on him too because he said like three times.
I'm thinking it's going to be week three before we actually know how this roster is actually going to pan out. And listening to Andy and Paul,
you should.
My struggle is not necessarily lack of talent, but how that talent's going to be used. You know, I see potential upside. I just don't know how it's going to work with kind of an entire revolving offensive and defensive line throughout the season. Even though I know that the players are there are of a caliber where if we stay durable and things go our way, you know, putting up wins should hopefully come relatively easy.
Well, who's to say the O-line is going to be a revolving door?
Won't be.
Once they settle on five, I would imagine unless there's injury or really catastrophic play, the five that go out there against Miami are going to be the five.
Probably.
Now, on the D-line, maybe you have a little bit more of a rotation because, you know, that's
well, they
that
need
might
to
be
anyway.
By design.
But
that might be by design.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about the defensive line than I do the offensive line. I don't really have any issues with the defensive line. I agree with Andy. I don't know exactly who's going to play because I don't know about Easley's availability yet. But with Vince and Easley, I don't have any problem if Chris Jones or Villano or Salim. I don't really have a huge problem. If I have Vince and Easley,
Great skates.
Kelce Quarles, by the way, is a guy that we liked at the Combine. Do you know, well, NFL draft scout at the time.
We should ask Gronk about Easley. He should know.
Ask Gronk about Easley.
Yeah, ask Gronk about Easley.
Oh, to see if he'll tell us he's going to play? I see what you're doing.
He's ready to go.
Spokesman, he's now like the White House press secretary. Rob Gronkowski steps to the podium.
Gronk should make a statement about the inactives before every game.
That would be funny.
This guy's going to be grinding. Yeah. He'll be playing.
Day by day.
Tough luck on this guy.
Day by day.
He grinded all week, but he couldn't make it.
Grinded. I love that. Grinded.
And last but not least, gentlemen, what is the availability potentially of somebody like Benny making it back to the land of the Patriots?
Been all quiet on the Benny front since he got cut.
I included that in the cut story for the paper that he was available, and I didn't think it would be terribly surprising if the Patriots took a shot. What are you rolling your eyes on?
Because of
Benny. But I haven't seen him linked to anywhere, working out, going visits, anything for Benny.
I haven't seen anything.
And that could be that, you know, he averages like 3.7 yards a carry.
Oh, yeah. I'm not looking for anything special. I'm just looking for a backup running back.
A guy who holds on to the football.
That if I get into a game and Ridley fumbles in the first quarter, there can be repercussions. I can sit him out if I want to. Well, right now, I don't know if you can.
They might feel that about Bolden. Just because I don't like him and who's that guy's name? Doesn't like him?
Justin.
Justin doesn't like him doesn't mean they don't like him. They clearly like him. He's been around 3 years despite the other issues that seem to maybe would have run somewhere.
Well, you know, Fred's guy will be on the roster by week 5 or 6, too, Jonas Gray.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. Eldridge from North Carolina. We'll take one more call before the break. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Sorry I got in a little late, but surprise loss, I agree with Paul. The Bills at home.
That was Andy. Andy thinks they're going to lose to the Bills.
You'd think after 10 years you'd know our voices, Eldridge.
really kind of hurts our feelings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean like
that. I don't want to be aligned with the loss of the Bills at all.
Yeah, but my question is, of all the linebackers they got rid of and cut, what's the depth like? The depth like, because I've seen a lot of D-tackles and D-end, but...
Well, the D-ends are going to be playing outside linebacker. So all they really need are a couple of inside linebackers.
So you're putting Chandler Jones and Ninkovich at the linebacker depth now.
Well, that's where they've been all summer.
I'm just asking.
Oh, they're going to have to jump down my throat.
I think that's a mistake.
That's huge. I think that's the big difference. If they go 3-4, that's when you wonder if they have enough depth at defensive line.
Correct.
If they go 4-3, you wonder if they have enough depth at linebacker.
They don't.
And I know that doesn't seem to be – it seems to be counterintuitive. Because you think you need four linebackers, but the two defensive ends become linebackers.
Right.
And that takes away from the defensive line and adds to the linebackers.
And even Buchanan.
Yeah.
Buchanan is a backup defensive end. I don't know how good he's going to be as a backup outside linebacker. You have Darius Fleming seems like the first guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fleming.
Yeah, but he's fine. I mean, you know, the guy's missed 2 years. He'll be fine.
No, I didn't say you're fine, but he's a backup.
But they're going to be rushing the passer, right? They're going to be dropping back trying to cover tight end.
Some coverage. You know, old school minimal coverage when you have McGinnis and Vrabel on the field.
I don't want my outside linebackers.
How often were they dropping?
I don't want my outside linebackers matching up with good tight ends.
Well, they won't.
I don't ever want that.
If you match up at all, it'll be Jamie Collins from the inside.
Yeah, and I don't want that.
Well, you don't want anything.
I want safeties and defensive backs covering receivers.
We don't have safeties, so erase that from your possibility.
That's why I say defensive backs. I don't care who it is. If it's Logan Ryan or Arrington, I'd rather have him covering a tight end. I'd rather have Brandon Browner. I don't know. I don't care. When he gets off the suspension. I'd rather have defensive backs covering guys that can catch the ball.
What about Gronk?
Than linebackers.
If we played Gronk, who would cover Gronk?
We would be just like every other team, Andy. We wouldn't have an answer for Gronk.
True.
I mean, who do you look at?
Probably Jamie Collins.
You know who really defends Gronk well? Blank. Who?
Not Shabazz or whatever, the guy from Pittsburgh who got bitch slapped.
No one has ever done a good job on him, in my opinion.
Dick LeBeau.
Some make him work a little harder to catch the ball than others, but that's about it.
I would do like Rodney said. Just go for his name.
I mean, Luke Kuechly was defensive player of the year. He molested Gronk in the end zone.
Oh, Rodney said that they are just going to flat out specifically target his name.
Yeah, I think Rodney completely left the reservation. The more I read those quotes, I was like, this guy's insane. How did I love this guy so much?
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Okay, one more.
I think he's projecting. That's what he would do.
Eldridge has one more.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Eldridge.
Eldridge
what?
Has one more question.
Okay, I know they got Tim Wright, another Rutgers player. And he looked pretty good in the last preseason.
Yep, he's a good Rutgers player.
did you know he's one of eight?
The only one out of 20.
He is one of 8 rookie tight ends in the history of the NFL to catch 50 passes.
Yeah, I think the third most in history.
And Rob Gronkowski was not one of them.
Nor was, you know, the alleged guy.
The other one. Yeah, yeah. Wilson Van Hooser.
So, Tim Wright.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Tim the right stuff.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Eldridge, he's just tired of us.
I was kind of tired.
We wore Eldridge out.
Yeah.
All right, it's 1 o'clock. Whoa. Let's take a break. I'm going to eat my cold slider from Splitsville, and we'll be right back.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Brady off the shotgun snap, steps up, fires across the middle, diving grab by Amendola. What a great catch, and he took a hard hit.
A lot of big challenges ahead. You know, just take it day by day and see if we can just keep put one foot in front of the other.
Kenner Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side. Headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
There's really no shortcut to it. This is where we build our fundamentals, where a team comes together from a chemistry standpoint. And there's just no shortcut to it. We just got to grind away here day after day.
Brady's in the gun. He's got the Who-Man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
That's what separates pro-caliber players from guys who aren't. It's guys who can fix problems and, you know that this is what the team's trying to do, and then you figure out how to solve the problem.
Empty back to Brady, pumps under pressure. Hit as he releases, deep to the end zone, left side. Catch is made. Touchdown for Aaron Dobson! Today, they were down by a 17-3 score at halftime, and they reel off 24 unanswered points to prevail over the Miami Dolphins.
If you know there's weaknesses, then that's what you go after. That's what pro football is all about.
Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Steps up now, hit by Ninkovich, wrapped up, and the ball comes loose. New England recovers on a strip sack.
Try to build off what we did yesterday. You know, we still work on a lot of things that we just need to work on, so just grind it out.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
And I think the coaching, the mental toughness, the discipline, the work ethic, those things don't pay off in September.
Tom fires toward the end zone, and a tumbling grab is made, rolling into the end zone with a touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
When you really see him is December, you're going to see what kind of team you are in those moments when your back's against the wall.
Brady takes the snap. He looks toward the left. He looks across the middle. Throws to the back of the end zone. Catch made. Julian Edelman. Touchdown. Patriots.
Jay Glazer is reporting that the Patriots have agreed to parameters of a trade to send Pro Bowl guard Logan Mankins to the Bucks for a pick and tight end Tim Wright.
Wow. Wow.
What?
Whoa.
Wow. This sends ripples of intrigue through Patriots Nation. This is just loaded.
Not football. It's personal. You know, all this emotion and energy you spend together, and you have friendships, the relationships that you build with the people that matter so much in your life because you make such a sacrifice for them and they make such of a sacrifice for you.
Logan is a great player. Was a great player here. He's a great person. Love having Logan Mankins on this team. But the overall circumstances just didn't work out for that to be able to happen this year.
Tom takes the step, throwing to the near side. Catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown.
You just want to be building, and I think our team is, we're going to do whatever coach asks. So that's the best teams I've been around have
followed our coach's advice and worked hard and tried to make the improvements so that we were primed and ready to go when it mattered the most.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Everyone telling you you're great and everyone telling you suck. And then, you know, if you ride that wave and then at the end of the year you're not mentally tough, well, you're not going to do much.
And the Patriots win it running away. The AFC East champions for the 11th time since 2001.
In my experience, you know, you got to be battle tested, and you only do that through going out there and playing games, see what kind of team you're made of, and, you know, execute under intense circumstances.
Shotgun snap to Manning, play fake, throw to the near side, ball picked off by Logan Ryan, diving break on the ball.
He's got it!
As he stepped in front of Aaron Decker.
He's got it!
Patriots take over!
This place is berserk!
Certainly this week and yesterday and on, you know, we're just focused on the Miami Dolphins and how we can go out there and put together the best plan to go out there and try to kick some butt on Sunday.
Are we ready? Oh, okay. So that was part one.
So we'll do our picks on Thursday. Right? We'll be back tomorrow with our picks, first edition.
Oh, good job, Kevin. And good job getting your own voice in there.
Our buddy Doug Kied. Is that how you pronounce
Kied.
His name?
I think so.
Kied.
Yeah.
It's Kied.
Kied.
I believe you're right.
Kied Piper.
Yeah.
Running back was Marcus Thigpen. Former Dolphin.
People follow him.
Who I thought was the chance. When Daniel Thomas and Thigpen got hurt, I like Thomas better, but I thought there was a chance. So he's one of the guys. Alan Reisner is the tight end.
He was with the Vikings.
He was also.
It's espionage.
He was with the Vikings, yeah. And you know, Barker was the guy that we.
So Barker,
Alan Reisner and Marcus Thigpen.
Marcus Thigpen.
Thigpen's one of those versatile backs. Can be a works as a returner, does some different things well.
Okay,
good athlete.
Okay, no official word yet from the team.
That'll come about game time.
We're still digesting.
Were you bowled over?
We're still digesting our lunch from Splitsville.
You liked
it? It was good. I liked it.
I say it was a strike.
We're the only three people in the world that know why that's funny, but that's okay.
All right, let's get to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. People want to chime in. Toby from New York, with the season only a couple days away, I'm having trouble figuring out the Patriots depth chart. Maybe you can help. When the Patriots are in the single back set with three wide receivers, who will those wide receivers be? Who will be lining up on the outside? Who will be the fourth wide receiver? And I have the same question regarding the defense. When Browner is eligible, which three corners will play in the nickel formation?
Edelman, Amendola, and I think depending on his health, it would be Aaron Dobson. If he's not quite up to par.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted.
I have no idea.
I say my receivers
should
are
be a little more professional.
My receivers would be Edelman, Amendola, and Dobson, if, assuming he's healthy, to where, you know, he needs to be.
I think you're right. I go with that.
LaFell would be the next option if Dobson
is right. I think at first LaFell, but then Dobson will overtake him.
Maybe, yeah. Probably right.
Fred liked what he saw from Dobson in the finale.
And then defensive backs.
I have no
backs,
idea.
Revis, Dennard. What did he ask for? When Browner comes back?
When Browner comes back.
I think you keep your best corners on the field, and I think those three are your best corners.
Yeah.
Dennard, Browner, and Reeves.
And then in the dime, Arrington or Logan Ryan, maybe.
Take your pick. Yeah. I think at that point it doesn't really matter.
Dime, a lot of
times,
there. It could be a safety, too.
Could be a safety. Yeah.
And I don't know how well Dennard would do inside. I haven't seen him play a ton inside, so I don't know if that's something that, you know, maybe Ryan or Arrington is better than Dennard inside.
Right.
In which case, I would keep Dennard outside and keep Browner out.
Debbie says she loves the open. She's from Franklin, Tennessee.
I know that spray he sprays is disgusting.
Oh, but
disgusting as what happened before.
I don't think it's disgusting at all. It smells a lot better than it did.
Right. That was gross.
I agree.
So go to the bathroom.
I am not quite ready. I know when I'm ready.
What are you, yo-yoing a turd?
He's so proud of himself.
That's from Family Guy.
You steal everything.
Well, at least he admitted it.
Yeah, because you know why? He knew that would come back. That would come back to get you on Twitter.
P.S. says Debbie, I love that Under Armour has signed Mrs. Brady to do some spots for the ladies.
Ask him if he's going to get the Pepsis that he said he was going to get to like an hour ago. I'm sorry, Freddie.
Giselle's doing Under Armour now?
I guess so.
Oh, yeah,
they inked her to a deal.
Yeah, that's true.
So they have a new ladies line.
Okay.
Perhaps. Let's go to Adam from Brisbane. I was listening to Brady on EEI yesterday, and they brought up the question about his future with the Patriots after the Mankins discussion. I got the vibe that Brady himself thinks there's a legitimate chance in a few years' time that the Patriots will want to move on from him, despite Brady thinking he's still not done. It was a weird answer that sounded like Brady was struggling to answer. I now definitely do believe Bill will still be around when Brady is gone, and although I never want it to happen, I could see Tom being traded one day with the contract that he has. We all could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's like a trail behind him.
He stinks.
As he left.
He stinks.
Yeah.
I think Brady's smart. He understands that there's no special sacred cows. He knows he's going to be subjected to the same scrutiny that other veterans have been subjected to before him. And guys that meant an awful lot. Now, maybe he means the most to this organization, but there are guys that meant an awful lot to this team that were shown the door. And he knows that he's not going to be any different.
Right.
If they deem him as having slipped enough to not warrant that contract or whatever it happens to be, he's going to go.
Also,
he's going to go.
The contract makes him easier to trade, too, on the other hand.
Well, trade or just cut.
Yeah. Mm. Liam writes in, at the end of last year, I noticed that I was hoping they would score on the 30-yard play rather than just getting a first down and getting into the red zone. The problem was Brady couldn't pass it to anyone, so we needed to run the ball, worked against the Colts, not against the Broncos. I'm feeling much better because of Tim Wright, Gronk's return, and I figure either KT or AD will make the jump. Yeah, I mean, they were lacking red zone targets.
I don't think they had any. I don't think they had any problems in the red zone last year, to be honest. I don't think it was a huge
without Gronk.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, the offense wasn't really good.
It wasn't the same.
I remember that game in Miami; they couldn't score. You know,
on a last desperation drive, they had to throw the ball into the end zone every play.
Four or five chances.
Yeah, but they had to throw it into the end zone. That's a little different than your typical red zone drive. I think that one of the reasons that I actually feel pretty good about their red zone offense. And I know this runs counter to everything else I say about the guy, but I think they run the ball really well in the red zone, and I think Stephen Ridley is a good goal line runner. I think he's had good success driving the ball into the end zone from inside the five.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why I feel pretty good about their red zone ability.
It's true.
Now, I don't think they weren't – listen, they were not great on offense last year. They were missing Gronkowski for most of the year. I'm not expecting them to be missing him, and I'm certainly not expecting Tim Wright to be the difference.
Conrad in L.A., so while I don't write in much, I don't miss a single show, and one of the biggest disagreements I've had with your analysis over the past few seasons is on Mankins. You can put me in the camp of people who think he's overrated and gets pushed around in big games. While this might seem like revisionist history, given that he's out of town, you'll just have to take my word for it, as the only witness to this are my friends here and the other drivers on the road when I go on an Andy-like rant at your podcast. While discussing Mankins, I'd like to single out a Mr. Paul Perillo. Paul, historically, the running game is overrated to win a championship.
I agree.
Paul and other PFW guys, the problem with the Patriots' run game is that they cannot run when the other team knows they're running.
I agree with that as well.
And Paul, Eric, and Fred, 8/26/2014, Mankins' nasty attitude on the front line will be missed.
I agree with that as well.
So to summarize, Paul, and at times the other PFW gang, one, we don't think the run game is important in New England. Two, we struggle to run the ball when the other team knows we're running. And three, Logan Mankins is instrumental in our run game with his nasty attitude.
I didn't say anything about the first part of that. Right. I said his nasty attitude will be missed.
Right.
That's not the same thing.
Adding these up, I get Logan Mankins is critical in our running game that lacks effectiveness in clutch situations, even though this phase of football is overrated. Come on, guys, I know you like Logan, but you guys are letting your personal feelings for him block your objectivity. He was a good but not great player for us. His nasty attitude didn't stop him or the team from getting beaten in clutch scenarios. We'll be fine. I, for one, think this trade was great and was almost doing cartwheels when I heard it because it might allow us to give Revis the option for his full normal pay. In other words, two years of Revis.
Because they have $6 million more to play with?
Yeah,
that'll be the difference.
That's what he said.
So you disagree with Bill Belichick then, the emailer does. Because Bill Belichick said that he's the greatest guard he's ever coached.
Yep.
And that
it was a tough decision.
It was a really tough decision. They worked really hard. They had a lot of talks, and they wanted to keep him.
Right.
So you disagree with Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. not us.
John in L.A.
Great point, Paul. I agree with you.
I'm actually in Vegas now, so that was a tribute to Jeff. Random thought just hit me. I remember hearing that Amendola was open several times in the AFC Championship game, but TB12 never looked his way. Then it was reported that he had a great spring and summer, yet I don't recall TB12 finding him in preseason game action. He did a little bit.
This year?
Yeah.
He didn't. But last year he did a lot.
Oh, it wasn't Brady throwing to Amendola. It was the other guys, right?
Well, I don't think Amendola had a lot of catches.
He didn't have
a lot
of catches.
Two or three.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not a lot.
You guys have any thought on this? Is TB12?
I'm going to retract what I said about Tim Wright. He's going to have a huge year. I'm pretty sure he's going to have more than two or three catches.
Yeah. Is TB12 comfortable with Amendola? Is there any chance he doubts Amendola's skill set or doesn't trust he'll be able to stay on the field and therefore is avoiding him? I actually think Amendola is primed for a great year, but we all know that once you're on TB12's you-know-what list, you're done. It was funny. Brady mentioned that today. It's like I won't look back at you if I don't
trust. If I don't have confidence, if I don't have trust in you, I won't look at you.
Yeah.
Right.
He said it.
Yeah. But he's gone to Amendola during training camp practices. Maybe not so much in the preseason games because of the opportunities and who was playing, but I don't think he has that much of a problem with him.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it is something worth watching because there were a lot of stories about that during the offseason about how they weren't on the same page and he didn't have a lot of faith in him. I don't know if it's true, but I certainly don't see him throw the ball in his direction anywhere near as much as Edelman or Gronkowski.
David from Denver, the best decision for the team is to bench Gronk until the playoffs. We are good enough to make the playoffs easily without him, and we desperately need him healthy in the playoffs. Let Gronk be Gronk during the regular season. Let him get drunk and take Molly with Welker. But when the playoffs come around, he'll be ready to dominate so we don't lose to Eli Manning again. I'm sure he's just kidding around.
Right, just like Eric was.
Right. Eric doesn't need
when you said Gronk should sit out the year.
I wasn't kidding.
I know.
Why does that get under your skin so much?
I don't know.
Because football players play football. They don't sit out.
Yeah, but injured players need to sit out to get healthy.
Right.
But he's not injured.
He's not injured.
He's healthy.
He is. He's not.
No, he isn't.
He's not 100%.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Or pretty damn near close.
He's not any less 100% than every other player out there.
He's going through more surgeries and more body trauma than...
But he's recovered from them right now. Right now. He's an injury-prone player, I'll say that. But he's not injured right now.
It's not like he has PTSD.
You're shrugging your shoulders. I mean, you think that he's in any less condition than anybody else out there?
He's probably
better. No one's at 100%.
I don't think he's in better condition.
He hasn't been banged up at all this preseason. He's had total rest.
But when you have to go through major surgeries, your body needs to recover
that
completely.
Week.
Not just
Thanks,
that
boss.
Week. I'm just saying,
Where'd you get the Pepsis?
He made him go get them.
Well, he said he was going to get
Cracked the whip.
All right, Dan writes in, I'm withholding final judgment on whether it was the right call until I see how they plan to utilize Wright in the offense. However, I will say the move feels indicative of something with regards to how the Patriots have approached this season thus far. They signed arguably the best player at his position of this generation, but at the same time, he's the only guy they brought in with any real track record of consistently good play. The Garoppolo pick looks like a good call, but only for the future. And now, in a time when the O-line already had questions, they ship out the most experienced member. Wright sounds like a good complementary player, which definitely solves... which definitely allows you to do more things, but it doesn't solve the what if Gronk goes down problem. It's a lot of win now makes that seem to be countered by plan for the future moves, and I find myself asking whether I'm watching the Pats or the Red Sox. Need some hyphens in there.
I love when you start reading and your eyebrows start to scrunch up. Like
that's an interesting take, though, because I think a lot of people, when the Mannkins trade was made, kind of felt like it ran counter to what they have been doing. This was kind of a load-up year, you know, the Revis thing, Browner, you know, being all in for this season. And certainly when you look at it the way he unfolded it, you could definitely, you know, the Garoppolo pick was absolutely a pick for the future. You could have gotten a good player in the second round who potentially could have helped. So I suppose you could look at it both ways, how this sort of you know, I don't know, serving two masters with with the philosophies.
Yeah.
But isn't that what Bill says he does?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, don't you think that a lot of people thought this was kind of a all-in kind of year? Yeah.
But mostly just for Revis, like all sort of based on one thing, because they went after a big flashy name. And people say they never go after big, flashy names.
Yes, Mike.
Wow.
Ted from Pittsburgh.
Teddy.
Three questions, guys, and as always, love the show. One, is there anything to signing the Dolphins who were in camp this summer? Do they actually have info to be squeezed, or is this just the mythos of the hoodie?
Do they have info to be squeezed?
To get, you know, to get out of them.
Listen, I think that stuff is overrated, but I don't dismiss as coincidental. They added guys from Miami and Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a
If you're adding guys just for that, though, I don't think it's a good idea. Now, if it's a byproduct of you're kind of interested in the guy. And plus
if there's a lot of guys out there that are equal, well, let's take the guy from the team we're going to play.
They've officially announced their captains, by the way.
Yes.
That was the only report.
You want to just – it's been on Twitter for a while, but you want to just mention it?
Tom Brady, Vince Wilfork, Devin McCourty, Gerard Mayo, Matthew Slater – and the new guy,
Randall Connolly.
I think that's interesting. Dan Connolly, a captain.
Leader of the group.
Ready to emerge.
So there's our answer.
Do you think they feel like they have to have one that's an offensive lineman?
Yes. I don't know if they do, but I feel like they feel like they do. I skipped a little there.
I know what you meant. No.
I wasn't even done with my question.
We talked about the question of who the leader of that group is now, and you got your answer, at least on paper or on, you know.
And yeah, I just don't look at them.
I don't look at them as captain.
Who do you think it would be?
I thought it was going to be one of the tackles, either Vollmer or Solder.
And that's why I asked you about the offensive
line. Vollmer's a guard now.
I wouldn't have picked any of them.
Did we talk about that?
What?
Well, we said we don't know who's going to play any of these spots.
No, but the Boston Globe reported that he is going to guard.
We didn't talk about
he
it on this show.
He was told he was going to guard. The Boston Globe reported that via Twitter, Ben Bolin.
I believe what they reported was that They had a meeting and they told him that he needed to start preparing to play left guard. And I don't think they said flat out that he was playing left guard.
I think
I'll look it up and get back to you.
I preface that with I think. So if it's not that way.
So you're covering your bases, Florio. No. I think it was 50-50 that he 50-50 might play or 50-50
report. But I think just in a backup role, you know, just in case.
It could.
You know, be prepared, but you're not.
I'm personally going to be stunned if he plays left guard on Sunday.
I kind of will be too.
Now,
well,
that doesn't mean it's not
an emergency.
No, I'm talking about starting at left. I think he is so much better at tackle than Marcus Cannon. I don't understand why Bill would do that. That's why I would be surprised.
Yeah.
But listen, they do a lot of things that I don't necessarily look at as being the right thing, and far be it from me to say I know who's a better tackle than Bill Belichick does. That's stupid. I don't know, you know, anything compared to him.
Two more questions from Ted. If a player is signed to the practice squad and then cut the next day, does he still earn his salary for the week?
I believe so.
Yeah. I think once
you get signed,
this guy.
It's a week.
The QB?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe he gets his salary.
And finally, is Mike Bartram available?
Nice.
Let's see.
He'd probably catch 50 passes,
Was he the one that wrote the book, the long snapping book, or was that?
No, that was Kinchin. Brian Kinchin. Right. Excellent book.
Jeremy writes in, I am so pumped up for the season.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if Tim's makes it and how Tim Wright does. I'm so confident in our defense this season that I have drafted them in almost every fantasy league I'm in. Do you guys know if Easley is supposed to be playing week one? Anyway, I love watching Andy and Paul during the preseason games. You guys got better every game. Good job.
Thanks for saying that, but not true.
Well, hey, take the compliment.
I appreciate the compliment, and I agree. I thought we did get better every game.
Easily, we don't know, but we're assuming he will.
I think he's
at least a little bit.
I think he'll get some.
They're going to need as many bodies as possible, and so you know he's really not ready to play a whole game anyway.
No.
So this might be a good situation for him. And then what was the other? Oh, it just reminded me of something I just forgot.
That last answer question?
It was something to do with programming.
Programming.
Yeah.
Radio programming?
Yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday.
Yeah.
I will read the tweet now in its entirety.
I want the story in the paper.
From Ben Volen 4 days ago. I'm told the Patriots had a meeting with the veteran offensive lineman yesterday and told Vollmer about moving to guard, Cannon to tackle.
Yeah, so it doesn't say that he's going to play guard.
It says he's moving to guard.
Well, that's a little bit even. That's pointing more towards starting.
Yeah, he's moving to guard. Doesn't say learn guard.
Not to get prepared.
And that's definitely not what he wrote in the paper.
If I move to a different house, I don't still live in the other house. I moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
unless you're still
like I said, I'm going to be stunned if he plays guard.
But I moved.
Yeah, well.
It says moving to guard. I will be too. And he got all defensive. Remember, Jonathan Ogden started at guard too or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and I thought it was.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I thought he started at right tackle and moved to left tackle after the first year. But, you know, I mean, looked it up.
I wouldn't assume that with Ben Volen.
That's true.
I thought it was also interesting that the way Vollmer reacted to the questioning thereafter. I think it was the next day when the report, day when the report came out, that he was, you know, just emphatic, like, I've always been a tackle. You know, I'm comfortable playing tackle because I've always played tackle.
Because I'm a tackle.
I'm a tackle.
Because I'm 6'8" and have long arms and I'm lean.
Right.
I am nothing like a guard, actually.
And he did say, you know, whatever they ask me to do, I'll do.
All players say that, but that's
boilerplate.
But they want me to kick the kick.
Yeah. I just remember what I was going to say.
Okay, before you forget.
Better be worth it.
We filmed our first episode of the PFW TV show yesterday.
I was right.
That is going to be on Comcast Sports Network Thursday night at 7:30. So that debuts this week.
That's it.
Just want to let everyone know that.
Okay.
No, because they reminded me when they said they watched you guys in the preseason. Remind us.
Well, if you want to watch us all season long, then
we have the show on Comcast Sports. That'll air live on Comcast Thursday night, 7:30. I think they repeat it at 9, but it's a football game.
You guys knock
the then we'll have it on Patriots.com the next day. What?
Did you guys knock the quick slants out of the lineup?
Yeah, they're out of the football block.
Wow.
Yep.
They're in a mini block on Mondays.
Boys only football block.
Well, you know, when a show that you're really backing as a network struggles, you have to move it to a different place to try to create ratings. It's the way the industry works.
Wow.
Whereas a show that's just kicking ass, you leave where it is kicking ass.
Check.
Wow. New look to the show this year. A couple new setups.
I almost gave you a check on Twitter the other day.
From him?
No, for I almost gave you one for taking a shot at Bedard. Oh, when you're like, you know, these wacky college football rules, they play four quarters now.
Like he cheats and goes, whoa, LSU beat Wisconsin? I was watching, it was 24-7. I go, these fancy college football games have four quarters now, Greg.
Let's go to Shaban from Watertown, Connecticut. Ever since the Patriots signed Darrelle Revis and Brandon Browner, the media and experts have predicted that the Patriots' defense can be elite this season. Everybody's gassing them up. Do you think Bill will let the players believe the hype, or will he make them prove it? Because I do.
He'll make them prove it. I don't know what that means, but he will make them prove it. Ignore the noise. You might have heard of that little phrase around here.
Phil in Sussex, England. I know the Miami game is just around the corner, but I want to talk about the Mankins trade and what it says about Bill the GM. Specifically, is there anyone who questions his moves? I know they have Nick Caserio and Mike Lombardi, but would either one feel comfortable to go against him in a big decision like this? Also, what role would DeGuignan play in this trade outside of the feedback on the players in the old line? Lastly, as GM, is Bill doing the job of two people, and does that leave him a little stretched?
Yes, he's doing the job of two people. A lot of places have two people doing the job.
And it does not leave him stretched.
I'm sure he had
definitively
some input.
Just ineffective at one of them.
As far as free, you know, what type of player
very, very good
he was, but I don't think he had any decision-making power in saying, you know, we got to trade this guy.
Josh,
or not trade him.
Or not trade him, yeah.
If he's you trade him and I quit.
Yeah.
Bill would say, peace.
Yeah, I'm not even sure he was informed. I mean, I don't even mean that as disrespectfully as it sounded, but that's a organizational move. That's not a position coach.
Right.
I got to weigh in on the position coach here. That was a financial decision.
Well, he might have said, "What do you think of Klein?" You know, just to kind of.
That's
what I'm saying.
I'm talking about the decision to trade Mankins was all on Belichick.
You think he was told that Vollmer's moving to guard, or is find that out on the field too?
Do you think Vollmer was told?
Was anyone other than Ben Volen told?
Josh from Waterloo says, "Well, Fred, you can check
that's
Justin
a lot of
Verlander
checks in one
off.
Sense.
You stepped all over it. You stepped all over
nice
it.
Nice job, Paul.
Yeah.
Read it again. We didn't hear it.
I actually heard nothing of it.
As
so
the great Peter Ventrone once said, sorry, Fred.
Josh from Waterloo says, "Well, Fred, you can check Justin Verlander off your checklist. Seeing naked guys on the internet."
Yeah,
I didn't see.
I guess
pictures.
It wasn't as good as people I thought it would be.
What, Justin Verlander?
his girlfriend wasn't as good as she's. Yeah,
I didn't
she's got
see
big
it.
Boobs. That's all she's got.
I didn't see the photos. Where do I find these photos?
Yeah, I don't think you can find them.
The
anymore,
Dirty.
Right?
The Strippers? Dirty had them. Strippers had them on the Dirty. I can get them on my phone right
was
now.
Was this part of the whole iCloud? Yeah.
Why, are they down? They took them right down?
I don't know. I looked everywhere. Let's see.
Did you see Verlander?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Oh. Because, like, he wasn't exposed.
Oh, I guess his bum was.
Oh, I saw his bum.
Oh.
Oh, see, the Dirty has
him. Did you see Justin Verlander's bum? Yes.
The Dirty has him blurred out. My original, let me go back. When it first
hit, catalog.
A lot of people sent me the link to it immediately. Yeah. I have a bit of a reputation.
I heard Jennifer Lawrence looked good, but.
Yeah. Some of them looked good. I don't really know who all of them are. There's a lot of different.
Really?
That wasn't really all that familiar.
Yeah. Fred, have you watched, totally non sequitur here, have you watched any of the Harry Houdini show on History Channel?
He's going to keep trying until he finds someone who has.
I asked once earlier today.
And I said, little sneak peek, he dies.
No, I haven't.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the story of Harry Houdini. Fascinating man.
He was. Yeah. I didn't realize he was a spy.
Oh, I didn't either.
That's what they make a big deal about in the movie.
You're not supposed to know that.
Fred, what did you think was fascinating?
No, just his whole...
His
magic. I'm just teasing. I was waiting for you to say something like really mundane. That was what I thought.
One of the things I used to be into as a kid was magic.
You're such a loser.
I didn't just walk around in sweatpants eating fudgicles my entire youth.
Fudgicles. That's good. I didn't like fudgicles. You know what I liked was the...
Those rocket bombs?
No, the ones
red, white,
that
and blue,
Bill Cosby did, like the yogurt, like
pudding pops.
Pudding pops. The vanilla pudding pops were awesome.
Yeah.
Fudgicles I didn't care for. Creamsicles were good with the orange with the white inside.
Creamsicles are awesome.
I hated creamsicles.
What were those red, white, and blue ones? You know, the bomb pops. Yeah. Those were good.
Did you ever have the ones that come in the plastic tube and you just...
With the little gumball at the bottom?
No, the push-ups. That's a cannonball.
Yeah, that's a cannonball.
Yeah, Paul had some ice cream in his day.
Paul's watched yesterday.
Paul's watched a lot of his older brother's Little League baseball games and went to the ice cream truck a lot. Okay, cannonballs, push-ups.
Some of my links no longer work, Paul.
So Fred's right. They
have been removed. The Dirty still has them, but they put little hearts over the nipples and the other stuff.
Oh. The trade, says Tony, we all felt Brady didn't have enough weapons. Wright gives Brady a large target who has shown he can beat cornerbacks and safeties. Pats now have legitimate two tight end sets again, a large slot receiver, and another big red zone target. Mankins was still a very good run blocker, but a mediocre pass protector.
11 sacks, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know that until they made the trade.
Let's see.
Now I know. And now I also know they got Kellen Winslow in return. Senior, not the one we had.
I thought you meant senior. Post-motorcycle.
Let's see. Brian in Essex, Vermont. Do you think it's really fair to compare last year's season opener versus the Dolphins to this year's? Last year, the offense was upended by the Hernandez debacle, which threw the whole offense into disarray, considering they'd been game planning with the two tight end sets as a focal point. This year, isn't it all pretty much different? Now Wright's the new guy, so the two tight end sets with a move tight end next to Gronk hasn't been something on McDaniel's mind the entire preseason. Plus, Brady's rookie receivers now have a year under their belt. Under most circumstances, I'd say it's fair to compare year to year, but can we agree that last year's issues aren't indicative of your typical NFL offseason? Sure, maybe a bunch of DWIs and guys beating on women, but murder, let alone multiple murders? Not that I'm making light of domestic abuse, and thankfully the league has altered the disciplinary rules on the matter. By the way, depending on who you are, the funny, sad thing about Welker's violation is he actually won several $100,000 at the Derby. I don't know if it's $100,000.
I thought it was like $85,000, yeah. And it would include like a mistake.
But this violation has lost him $1.8 million, and his $3 million salary is no longer guaranteed. I wonder if he now regrets handing out the $100 bills after his Derby win.
Probably not. He doesn't remember it.
I mean, you know.
I don't really understand the rest of the email.
I wasn't listening.
Like, was he?
Well, he said it's not, you know,
he was saying,
the state of the offense, it's not fair to compare last year to this year when you look at the game against the Dolphins.
Well, I don't really understand what, like, I don't, I'm kind of like Bill, and I know that sounds like a cliche, but I wouldn't compare the offense from and say going into last year.
They're on much better footing this year, don't you think?
I don't think anybody's compared.
As long as Gronk is playing, yes. If Gronk is not, no, I don't think they are any better footing.
Well, but you can at least say Brady is more familiar with four or five of his targets that were new last year.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not really comfortable with any of those guys.
Yeah, but he's got to be more comfortable with what they
are. Yeah, I would agree that he's in better shape.
But they didn't open the season.
Might not be good. I phrased that in
Miami. They also didn't open the season in Miami last year.
No,
he opened in Buffalo.
It was Buffalo, but I just figured he had a mistake with that. But they lost.
Said indicative.
They knew they were going to be without Hernandez. They knew they were going to be without Hernandez in June. Right? So they had
a little thing anyone does. Right. Mr. Perfect over
here. Are you kidding me how much you heckle me when we do our things, when I don't have a prompter?
Are you claiming that we heckle you more than you heckle us?
No, the same.
No. No.
Well, you're right. It's less because I don't make as many mistakes. I don't give you as many opportunities.
But I felt like they were able to go into the season with plenty of time to figure out what they were going to do with Hernandez.
But not plenty of personnel.
No.
I think that's his
point. Now, but his
you were a too tight end.
But in the same thing, he's saying
June.
Now they know they have Tim Wright. Well, he just got here. He's like, I wouldn't be stunned if he's inactive on Sunday.
No. But I think that's his point.
So Tim, how are they better? Like, why
Tim
is it so
Wright
much
is
better?
A cherry on top
months.
Of the offense you have built over the course of the offseason.
And if Gronk is healthy, and
whereas
fine, that's why you're
better. Aaron Hernandez removed some of the ice cream from said Sunday a year ago when you planned it to taste a certain way.
To me, it all comes down to Gronkowski. You didn't have Gronkowski in week one last year. That's why you weren't as good last year.
Well, we all know that Gronkowski is the centerpiece. And we don't know if you're going to have Gronkowski. Bill, make that decision later in the
I do.
Sorry, Paul knows.
There's just no way that he said that in is not ready to play.
Yeah, I
there's
have
no
agree.
Way.
I have to agree.
This is a dog and pony.
He's not going
to
play every snap.
No.
But he'll be out there.
Nobody's going to play every snap.
And it doesn't matter
line.
If he's out
Maybe.
There the first
you
play of the
what?
Game or not.
I bet you the offensive line doesn't
play every
snap.
The offensive line won't play every
they
snap.
Rotate.
They never do in the opener. Not, I mean, now some of them, like Solder probably will.
I'm not sure he will.
Yeah, I think he will.
I'm not sure he will. I'm just going to keep saying it like that.
Okay.
I bet he probably won't be able to because
he's
going
to go to tight end.
Right.
And then he has to sit out a play. So boom, Andy wins a bet.
Well, I thought we were all set. We have the multiple tight end set now. We don't need to do that anymore.
When Paul gets sarcastic, it is not pretty.
Mike in Wilmington writes in, I listen to
the
show
every
week.
We're all set.
And it seems like in the past couple of years, the number of listeners and the geographic range of fans has increased dramatically.
Yes.
This is really just a random thought I've had over the last few weeks as I listen, but is this a product of the internet/app market in terms of ease of access to the show? Through those various outlets, and also, have you done any statistical breakdowns of the listenership since the app releases on Apple and Google Play that you could share on the air?
No.
Yes, and then Fred ended up with a nude selfie of himself. Selfie of himself.
They got into my cloud.
Well,
you know,
my cloud.
Yeah, we do about 100,000 downloads per show.
Average. We have peaks and valleys.
Yeah, and it's from all over. You're right. It's from all over the world.
As it should be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Patriots fans
and
out
as
there.
The Mike alluded to, I do think that the app mobile
52
has,
is the mic, right?
has made, how many people do we have that email and say they listen in the gym or they listen, in their car or on their
on
commute?
The train.
How
many
people that with a laptop?
How many people were pissed yesterday?
It's because of mobile.
All those people that were pissed yesterday, there was no show.
Right.
Going to get me through a commute.
But I'm just saying the
this.
Ease of access that he alluded to is because of mobile.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we also have to remember, and I read this, I was stunned. Did you know that the U.S. is not in the top 10 highest-ranked countries for high-speed internet access?
Oh, yeah.
Is not?
So we should have listeners able to do that globally on these various devices because they have better networks.
Yeah.
We're not? Is
not.
That
not. N-O-T.
Wow. Where are we? In the?
Not in the top 10.
Yeah, but where?
Oh, I only read the headline. I didn't read the story.
You know that China has the biggest population in the world?
I did
know. You
know
that?
Yeah.
Number two is Facebook.
Is that a joke or serious?
No, it's serious.
If Facebook were a country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
If Southern California were its own country, it'd be the sixth greatest gross national product in the U.S.
P.S. We need more.
Who gives a fine?
We need more angry Paul, Andy harassment of Eric, and pointless stories from Fred and Paul, much like
don't.
My question.
No,
get
we
port.
Don't.
Pointless. Wait, what do we not need more of? Why are you so
any
offended?
Of that. Any of that.
They didn't even say anything
any
offensive to you.
Yes, you did. More of you picking on me.
Oh, I agree. I thought of you this morning on my way in.
Oh, God.
Somebody referenced that line from the 40-year-old version. When he says,
I gotta like go to bags the of sand.
Locker room's at 2, right?
Yeah, close enough.
Sleeping 17 minutes.
Are you going to get online?
No, you said it might open earlier, so I want to get
Ready.
He's going to get on Jackie.
What?
Whoa.
Did you know there's another Jackie in this organization?
Yeah, I emailed her once on accident.
I didn't know that until yesterday.
Steve,
see the big Oyo giveaway?
What is an Oyo?
It's, well, I want to be careful here.
You know what it is.
It's similar to other animated block figures.
Right. Right. That interlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say their competitor's obvious name.
Yeah. Right. So where are they giving away Oyos?
At the hall at Patriot Place weekly. There'll be giveaways of these Oyos. I guess they're going like hotcakes out of the pro shop. Patriots Oyos. You can get a Will Fork, I'm sure Brady.
For first down?
All the stars. Yeah, that'll be in first down. I read that, and I didn't know who that person was. And I said, one question on this release. Who is so-and-so? And the person responded.
Let's see. Kat says, the argument about the mallet trade at the start of the show was mid-season form. Good on you. Also, the idea of Gronk doing the injury reports is literally the best idea for a football-related SNL sketch ever. I love seeing Andy and Paul on the preseason broadcast. I never get to see the other shows out here in Chicago. You can watch them on Patriots.com. I have to ask, though, has Paul lost weight? If not, I think he may be the only person on the planet where the camera takes off pounds. Last week, another
He's the only person on the planet where the camera takes off pounds. Right? You've said that frequently? People keep saying you've lost weight, but you haven't?
I have been, the last several months, a lot of people that haven't seen me in a while ask me if I've lost weight. I don't really feel like I've lost
weight. In a concerned way?
No.
Oh.
Now, but
in
have
a
you lost weight?
Complimentary way. I don't know. I don't weigh myself.
I thought you were the
day.
Same when you went to the doctor.
No, I had lost weight but I hadn't had a physical in like three years.
But not significant weight.
Like 14 pounds, I
wow.
think.
Wow. So you were fatter at one pounds. Point. You were fatter at one point.
12 pounds. No, well, I also
because it wasn't muscle.
I also think it was a false positive. I think my weight when I went the original time, I think I was completely dressed with shoes on, and I think it was a weight that was higher than what I normally am. I don't think I lost as much weight as I was
so you
being
haven't
given
really
credit
lost
for
that.
It.
You're in the same ballpark as you've always been.
Yeah, I'm probably like 205.
Ish. Why are you smirking?
That's a lot for.
I weigh more than he does.
I do too. I bet I weigh more than both of you.
How much you weigh?
What do you weigh?
215.
You weigh a little bit. I'm like 212, 213.
Last week, another PFW listener wrote in to say he thought a fantasy league of PFW people would be fun, and you egomaniacs just decided he meant you. But I thought it would be a good idea. So if you could put this out there for the other PFW listeners. I will get a league going. Listeners can contact me on Twitter at @cat_in_Chicago to sign up. Members will need to be available to do a draft tonight, obviously. But if we get 12 people, I will get it set up. All right, so it's @cat_in_Chicago. And you need to do it real quick. So,
Cat, thank you for the kind words, by the way.
Season starts tomorrow.
All right, let's go back to the phones in the stretch run here on the show. We'll start with Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What you talking about?
Not much, man. I got a question for y'all. Thinking about starting this season. During this time last year when we got Amendola, would you all say that you all felt that Amendola was better than Edelman? That's the first part.
At the start of last season, yes,
yeah,
I would say that.
I would say that I did, yes. Yep. And now I don't think
okay. That. What do you all think that, you know, flip-flop now?
Yes.
Yes, I think Edelman has popped. I think Edelman has popped.
Hmm. Okay. And, okay, so do you all think that my concern is that, of course, this will be way later on in the season, but during the stretch time, do you all think that defenses are really afraid of either one of them?
No.
I don't
afraid?
Know.
No.
Afraid.
Not Calvin Johnson afraid or Larry Fitzgerald afraid. No, but they have to be reckoned with for sure.
No.
You don't think so? Oh, so when they catch 10 passes, that...
I don't think they're afraid.
Teams just allow
at
that
all.
To happen.
I don't think they're afraid at all.
Okay.
I don't think they're afraid of them as much as they were afraid of Wes Welker when he was in the role.
Paul?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's your barometer, none of those guys are afraid of, you know, they're afraid of, like,
I don't
Calvin
think
Johnson.
Those guys put fear into defenses, no.
Well, I wouldn't say it was like that. I say, of course, you have your Gronk as your number one guy, but normally, let's say normal teams have a number two that, you know, he's not to that level, but he's a pretty good number two guy, and he's a pretty good number three guy. Do you all think we have a nice flow of that going down? You know, Gronk, you know, that's a guy like back in the day when we had Gronk, you know, so Hernandez, then Welker, or whatever it is. Do you all think we have that type of, or Denver, or somebody like that?
Yes. I think if Gronk is the main guy, then Edelman's a pretty good second option. Amendola's a pretty good third option. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's historic. I don't think it certainly doesn't measure up to what Denver had even last year. But if you ranked it among all 32 teams, you'd be in the top, you know, quarter, 20%, something like that.
Yeah, and I think that they also have good schemes and good game plans that put guys in positions to make plays. We've seen Shane Vereen pop open, wide open for easy touchdowns. Based on design, the touchdown in Houston last year comes to mind when your boy Jimmy Devlin get credit for really occupying some space and Vereen snuck out into the flat all by himself. I think they do a good job of that, and they have guys that are able to take advantage of those. I think they find matchups that they like, and even though they don't have, I don't think man-for-man as talented players as some other teams do, in terms of depth with the receivers, they're able to get by because of Brady and because of the schemes.
All right, thanks, Melvin. Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
Man, you guys scared the hell out of me on yesterday. I was trying to call, and I was like, are we off air or something for good? I got concerted, man.
They finally caught up to us. Could happen.
I'm saying this is the new time here, the new day and time, or what?
No. We during the seasons, which the season starts this week, we go every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So 3 days a week, except for this week, because whenever there's going to be a holiday or a Monday night game, then we won't be on Tuesday because WEEI takes our studio. But for the most part, I think every week, except for maybe one or two, will be every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from this point on.
Okay, I got two questions. Is Vollmer, I'm hearing that he's going to be the starting guard. I mean, is that true? And who's going to be the next? Who's going to start in his spot on the other side?
Yeah, the whole starting guard with Vollmer was one report from Ben Volen from the Globe. So that's the only thing I've heard about that. And I don't see it happening, but could be wrong. I mean, who knows? And if it is, he's a good poker player because he didn't let on Monday.
And if he starts at guard, Cannon would probably be your right tackle to start.
That's what the report says,
yes.
Right?
But it also said Cannon to tackle. Cannon has been a tackle. He was Vollmer's replacement at tackle for a half a season a year ago. Right. So he didn't have to move anywhere to go to tackle. He was already at tackle. So that report in 140 characters seemed to have a lot of questions in it.
Certainly did for me.
Okay, I got these two comments. I'm real. I like what I saw out of Dobson. I think he's going to make a year two jump. And if Patrick Chung starts at safety Sunday, I'm going to literally turn the TV off and just out the house. All right, I'll see you guys.
Oh, come on, Trey.
You won't. Yeah. See, you just lied. You're not a man of your word because you will not do that.
Because I think that's going to happen. So I think you're going to be you're going to be upset.
Should I ask him? I'm doing for the little tease for PFW, I am interviewing Patrick Chung in just a few minutes.
Oh, yeah?
For our one-on-one interview. Should I ask him just first question? Are you starting against the Dolphins?
Mentally. You should say mentally. Are you prepared to be the starter?
You want me to say that just like that?
Why not?
I'm just asking. If you want me to say it, I'll say it.
If you think it's a good question, say it.
Paul's shaking me off.
What? You know,
mentally, are you prepared to be the starter? Well, yeah. I mean, who's not going to say yes to that?
Well, okay. So, and then you follow
up. Are you starting?
Right.
That's the question. And then he's going to laugh.
All right.
And then they'll get on to the real
And then I'll
question.
Ask him. No, seriously. I mean, we've seen a lot of bodies go through this. Yeah. I was going to talk about that. Blah, blah, blah.
All right.
So who doesn't? Paul's right. Who would say no? Maybe Bethel Johnson would have said no.
Right.
Nope. I'm a kick returner or a home run hitter. I don't start.
Let's go to Chester in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? I know we're up against it, so I'll keep this quick. But, you know, really looking forward to this season coming up. Miami Nation, hope you guys make some noise this weekend. You know, just quickly on this game, to me, it's just going to come down to pressuring Tannehill, getting some turnovers and sacks. And, you know, my big question to you guys quickly is, you know, will this heat and humidity hold up for our DL from surging? I mean, I feel like our D-line is going to tire out with this weather. And, you know, just a sub-question on that end, you know, how long is it going to be until Easley is a factor in this defense and pass rush? You know, I hear everybody's at practice, but I'd love to hear an update on that end. But I hope all is well, guys. Take it easy.
All right, Chester, thanks. We talked about Easley early in the show, and we think that he's going to see some action this weekend.
Rotational time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're going to see all the guys playing that are active, pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
You
yeah.
believe this is as healthy as a Patriots team in a while.
Yeah, I think in terms of the major guys who have been hurt or had surgery, I think they're all going in the right direction.
And I do think pass rush is going to be something to keep an eye on based on they have an all-new offensive line. You know, we've talked about Albert is sort of the centerpiece, so he'll be against Jones. But the other side, they have a rookie, James, will be going up against Rob Ninkovich. And then on the interior, Vince Wilfork, and see what he can get done in there. Didn't they just have to bring in a center recently? Wasn't he a late addition?
Did Samson Satel not get that job?
I don't know.
How's Tannehill been in the offseason? I haven't heard much about him.
Well, he's usually on his backside, that's why.
Well, okay.
Because of the offensive line that Andy's talking about. That's the key.
I know Satel's the guy.
He can throw the ball when he has some time. He just never gets time.
Hey, guess who's here?
Not Eric.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But John Rook is with the Patriots playbook because he's starting up his regular season schedule. Hey, John.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Nothing to nitpick yet. Or maybe there is. I don't
know. I come bringing gifts.
Oh, wow. Oh, all right. We got the cranberry. I call
it
cake.
Actually, today it's blueberry because the cranberries have not been harvested yet.
That's true. Okay. That would make sense.
I like
blueberry. Thank you. Blueberry cake. Thank you very much.
Miss Robin says hello, fellas.
All right.
Happy football season.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
So, John, are you raring to go?
Raring to go, Fred. Yeah. Raring to go.
Yeah.
Chomping at the bit.
What's your, I don't want to, you know, let the cat out of the bag, but do you give predictions and are you ready to give one now?
Well, you mean in terms nothing like jumping right into it.
No, the weather.
In terms of the season or the game or
the
what?
The season, not the game.
I read it, John.
You read it?
I read it.
Okay, I guess Fred doesn't read his own website then, right?
Well,
you didn't see view from the.
I do. I know he. I know he did all. He went down.
Should promote that.
Went right down it. I know.
Right. That's right.
For the uninitiated.
Right.
Right. For the uninitiated.
Or illiterate.
Or the illiterate. Very good.
And based on the calls we get, some of them fall into that category.
Okay. I liked it very much. Very good, Andy. All right.
That's why they hate Andy.
Yeah, I understand that. All right. Give me a chance. We just got the season started. I'll have to come back with something pretty soon.
Okay.
Okay. Patriots.com on Tuesdays, View from Above, column that we started first of the summer.
Right
about the time that OTAs were underway. And so every Tuesday, I'm glad to contribute to the website. It's a lot of fun. And the last one for this week was I played the game, win, lose, win, lose, win, 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 all the way down the line. And I came up with 13-3.
Okay.
And the reason I came up with 13, well, you know, that's okay. That's okay. Blockhead.
Because it's a tough schedule. That's
but,
why 13-3, right?
Yeah. It's right. It's a tougher schedule, number one. Number two, last year I picked them at 11-5. They ended up 12-4. I think this year's team, at least defensively on paper, and again, health takes everything else out of the equation, as we all know. If you're not relatively healthy, all bets are off the table. But if all things are staying equal and the playing field lowers itself to wherever the Patriots may be health-wise, I see no reason with some of the improvements that they've made defensively why this team can't be a game better than last year, which is why I arrived at 13-3.
I'm right there with you, 13-3. Yep.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There will be a very tough stretch over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with the road games at Green Bay and at San Diego back to back. Those are big games. And then I love the fact that the end of the season ends with three straight divisional games, because if there's anything left to the AFC East by that time, it'll be excitement right down to the bitter end, which is great.
There won't be, but.
I don't think there will be either. And I think largely it's going to be due to attrition, because I think that the opposition within the division will fail to measure up.
And what about in terms of beyond that?
A lot of people are already going to say, and I'm sure they've already told you guys, that, you know, anything short of at least an appearance in the Super Bowl is a disappointment. I think I'm ready to join that this year.
Okay.
I think they've got to get back to the game. I think they've got to beat, if it's Denver, then they've got to beat Denver. I think it's time to take that next step.
I, you know, and I'm usually one to, you know, poo-poo that because I don't want, but I think
it is going to be disappointing if they get to another AFC championship
and lose again
and don't win.
Yeah, what is it now? Four straight AFC championship games. So I think
you got to get over that hump.
What are we going to be? We're going to be the Buffalo Bills of the new millennium.
Let's Philadelphia Eagles
or the Philadelphia Eagles in the new millennium. Right. Let's get on with it and let's get back to the big game where it counts.
So if they were to happen to play at Denver, let's say Denver goes 13-3 too.
Got
to
beat them.
And Denver
wins. You got to beat
Denver
them here.
Beats the Patriots.
Yeah. Okay.
So that means the game is in Denver again.
That's a disappointment.
Failure.
Not disappointment.
A disappointment, not a failure. Disappointment.
Well,
I think there's two
it's
things.
A disappointment if they don't win.
Well, you know
Super
what I mean. But okay,
talking about a failure. Is it
do
a
you
failure
not expect
not?
More, Paul, out of them? Do you not expect
no,
more
I
at this stage?
If they played in the AFC Championship game in Denver, I would expect Denver to win.
Well, that would have meant that Denver had a.
But
great
that's not
season.
The question that
and,
I asked.
And I can see why Paul's saying that.
I can too, but that's not the question I asked.
Yeah.
Would you not be disappointed looking at the Patriots and what they've done?
I would be disappointed if they don't win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I'm a Patriots fan my whole life. I would be disappointed if they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't call it a.
What about expectations? What
I don't expect them to win the Super Bowl.
No. Do you expect them to get to the Super Bowl?
No.
You don't.
So you think Denver's going to beat them?
I think Denver's better.
Yeah.
But there's 16 games to be played. That's why we play them.
Sure.
As you like to say, Freddie.
Yeah.
We like to judge it after the season.
Are you factoring
we have to
in
play the games.
Are you factoring in the Manning decline?
No, and that's
because
probably,
I am.
Listen, that's probably the folly of my beliefs is that I still think that Manning and Brady are good quarterbacks.
If Manning sucks and the
Except
Patriots
the
lose to them, then it's really a disappointment. If he sucks but they still find a way to lose, then yes.
Manning has the drop off that Fred Kirsch is predicting, then the Patriots will beat Denver in the
All right, Patriots. I have to get going. John, welcome back. The playbook starts today and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from now on.
2 o'clock Eastern time. Be here or be square.
All right, have
or
a good
be
show,
Andy, one of the other.
And we will be back tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.